Oh, is that my email?
How's Bill?
He's good. He's in Phoenix.
Oh. Good?
Good to go.
All right, I've got 6:30, so I will call this February 10th meeting to order. And we will start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Go ahead, John.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, John. Okay. We can recognize visitors. Who would like to go first? Mr. Mayor Mike Olson. Why don't we have you go first and maybe Leanna and then Chad will go.
Okay, so a couple things. Sorry, I was intended to come to the last meeting. I got tied up. I have to work now since I don't have the big salary like you got.
Yeah,
so I missed the last meeting, and I, over the last several weeks, have been nagging a certain city councilman, certain city employee, and certain mayor about some of my issues I've had with several things out here, one of which has been construction. And just the overall lack of attention that the contractors are paying to the community around them. I feel like we live in a very special place and that should be treated by all at the highest level. And a lot of times, like I said, you don't notice this stuff until it's in your backyard. We've had two major construction projects going on Terrace Trail, and I've watched these contractors just ignore all the things we put in place to try to protect our community. We have our stormwater runoff ordinance that we put into effect years ago, and Brady's very familiar with it. Greg, obviously, you deal with it. It's just something that you never think about until it affects you. We require the contractors put up erosion netting around the property and keep the disrupted soil on the property. Well, it's not been going on with two job sites. Near me, it's gotten better recently. I would say, in the last week, it's been much better. Prior to that, these guys, it's Fred. I feel horrible nagging Fred about it. Everything that doesn't stay on that property runs into the streets and then runs down into our lake. And then ultimately, someday down the road, we're paying to dredge it out. We need to be better and really set the bar at a standard like all the other cities do. I think we want to, as a community, we don't want to tax our contractors out here. We don't want to create an environment that's a negative environment and deter people working out here. By the same token, we have to keep a standard where they abide by our rules. And I just think sometimes because we don't have a ton of staff and we aren't like a normal city, we've got a police chief, building inspector, like Fred's one nine different directions. And I think sometimes we've got to be, we've got to set the bar higher for them. I know we put this ordinance in place. In talking to Fred, it seems like, and I know you guys discussed it last time, that there needs to be more, ability to quickly, cite somebody for this and have a more immediate effect.
Yeah.
Rather than just going out and saying, hey, you need to fix this, and then they don't do it. I mean, Terrace Trail's been horrible for weeks, and I find it just, there were times I couldn't walk my dog down the street, it was so muddy, I didn't want to drive my truck down the alley because it was so muddy. I mean, it's beyond the scope of reasonable construction. And you look around the lake, there's other projects like that as well. So that, and then just on top of that, trash, they're just like, there's one house down the street from me that I saw, they ate Sonic on Tuesday, and it was out there still on Sunday, and if wind blows, goes into neighbor's yards. I mean, we live in a tight community here. We're shoulder to shoulder. This is not like a subdivision you're building out in the middle of rural Shawnee. We have to be respectful of mud. We have to be respectful of trash. We have to be respectful of operating hours. We have contractors. A while ago, they were down working on a dock at 9 o'clock at night running saws. And that's just, we have things in place. And I don't want to be a city that nitpicks people, but we have things in place to protect us. This is where we live. We live in the greatest community in the world. We just need to keep our standards high. And it needs to just be a given that that's the deal. And you guys have been great. Greg, Fred, Brady. I'm not neglecting you other guys. I would have nagged you too, but I just figured, nagging at me. So that's, I think we've made progress. Another thing I'll say that gives me hope and where I'm going to go with all this is you're doing a good job of communicating. And, you know, I think that's a big message out here. I think we have a percentage of people that ignore rules and ordinances and things like that because they don't know. There's a small percent that just don't care and they do whatever. But I think most people, you know, they're just ignorant or naive or whatever. And once they learn, they stop doing it. Case in point, I was in the dumpster today. It looked pretty darn good.
Yeah,
no. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it was nothing but yard waste in there. I was like, yes, congratulations to you guys. You sent a message out, and people, like, reacted. So along those lines, I think we need to send a similar message to contractors. We don't need to whip them with a stick. But we need to say, hey, this is what we expect. And as a community, we need to enforce those things collectively. And you guys as council people need to be aware and bring it to get residents' attention, bring it to community's attention. And I think through that, we just that's a good way to police. We don't have a big enough staff to do all that stuff. Another thing I think we really need to draw attention to is speeding. Again, you know, we go through periods of time where we see a lot of speeding, and there's times on Terrace Trail where I just see cars flying through there, and it's people that know better that just need to be reminded as a community that there's no excuse whatsoever for driving over 20 miles an hour in this lake. I mean, there's no excuse. Unless you're driving an ambulance, that's the only excuse. And I think, once again, coming from you all as a community, as a governing body, just saying, hey, this is how we do it, and using your channels of communication like the app, through your article, maybe there's some flyers, just re-reminding people it's 20 miles an hour. So all in all, like I say, I'm thrilled with living here. You guys are doing a great job. We just need to continue to, you know, keep the bar high and, you know, make them play by our rules and make everybody comply. Lastly, why does Ben get a bow tie in his picture and I didn't get to wear the red suit?
Hey, nobody said you could, nobody said you couldn't wear the red suit.
I got the picture of the red suit. It never would have been there. Yeah.
You chose not to put the red suit.
No, I gave it to yeah. We made a motion lesson if you weren't here to change the picture out. Thank you.
We're happy to switch it out.
Maybe what about just the month of December?
There you go. For balance, I say.
Yeah.
We missed an opportunity.
No, they offered 1 month. Now you want
same day we go here. Thank you very much, Lisa. You got it.
No, thank you, Mike, and I'm just going to kind of go backwards from here. In regards to the speeding, we do have that the sign that, you know, we can put around the lake to just kind of remind people. I'm happy to put something on the website and in my article again. There was a reason we changed the speed limit from 25 to 20 because when it was 25, people were going 33. Yeah, and over time it happens again. So speed limit's 20, people are going 28, 29, 30. So I'm with you there. And yeah, Fred, anything else you can do to deter people? But
I'm really good about having people go out and request it. I know this last week, hopefully,
I saw you
people have been sitting on Terrace Trail.
Yeah.
So it's like that. We have to get the information so we can be in the right area to catch the big fish.
Yeah.
So. It just, like you said, takes communication. So.
Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that to our attention because, we need the reminder every once in a while.
Dogs, kids, narrow streets,
tight streets, construction, all that stuff.
Yeah. So, I think it's just enforced by our peers.
Yeah.
We need to be on each other.
Yeah, I agree. In regards to the runoff and silt fencing and all that stuff, since the last meeting, Fred, with little help from Greg and I, kind of put together a draft on erosion and sediment control policy and standards. Basically what it entails, it talks about enforcement and compliance. We've talked about, a 24-hour notice. We've talked about a fine amount. We've talked about hiring companies to come out and clean up if it's not done in time. Fred even looked into a street sweeper to come in, stuff like that. So we're trying to stay on top of it. I think we agree. You were kind of the perfect storm there for a while. Two big construction projects going on.
What's crazy is obviously you've done something because what they have now in place is like way better than what they've done for the entire project up until like the last 2 weeks. I mean, if you look now, they've got the netting is up, it's dug in like it should be.
It needs to be trenched in, otherwise it doesn't.
Yeah,
and then
they right, and then they also have that, the booms, like the, what are they, like the straw booms?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so it's significantly better than what it's been. And I just, you know, it's funny because I think these contractors, and I hate to generalize about anybody because, like, I hate what people do about me.
Yeah.
I'd say these mayors, former mayors, like, you know, get lumped into. No, I think it's, you know, they prop it up. And propping up the netting is not the same as having it trenched in and doing what it's supposed to do. And, you know, we get these rains and it goes straight down into the lake.
No, I think we all saw what you were talking about where, you know, they took it down for whatever purpose and just hammered the stakes back in and mud was just going right underneath it. So.
Well, there's a really good brochure that's on the city website that kind of shows erosion control and kind of how a job site should look.
Yeah.
And I would love it if they all looked like that. You know, if we had every site where they had, you know, I talked to Greg about it, about having a gravel access point where they can park vehicles, not track mud everywhere. And I know it's an expense and, you know, you mentioned that it's 2-inch gravel that you're never going to use anywhere. However, it's just like, man, your neighbors, it's just, you know, like I say, I operated in Lee Summit years ago, you know, it was out there and man, I shoveled many a road and I got fined a few times and it hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, you know, and I think once again, you set the bar high. And,
yeah. Well, hopefully you saw an improvement and we'll continue to evaluate it. And, I know Fred, you know, has been doing a great job. He's come in after hours to send letters and stuff like that. And, we'll continue to, evaluate and, you know.
Well, the name of the game is just communicate to them and hopefully, like, say, you begin to set a tone and a message and people just understand that's not acceptable and it becomes a exception rather than the norm. But I guess the thing that I find just bizarre is, like, as a homeowner who's going to live in that neighborhood, like, I would be beating my contractors up every time I saw trash in the yard, every time I saw mud in the street. I mean, I would not, I just feel awful for doing that to my neighbors. But
that's me. That's you. Yeah.
That's why I'm not going to build a house.
Anything to add to that, Fred or Greg?
The most recent events, I guess, is we're basically just an email away from sending the application to Gordon Energy. So when we establish that relationship, I'm just a phone call away for them to clean the road, them to put up the silt fencing. Again, just something we hadn't had in place before. Once that gets out, that okay, I've had enough. Gordon Energy will just take care of it, and you guys are paying the bill. I think for those contractors, not all of them, like you've mentioned, for those that have been either neglecting it or taking advantage of the lack of our own public works department here, then the message will get out, and I think we'll see an improvement on those that choose to push the envelope.
Yeah.
It's not high dollar. It's like $150 compared to what.
Yeah, it's like $2 or $3 a foot results.
And they provide a next day service. They have the same thing for street sweeping too. So Gordon Energy does provide good service.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it's weird when you crack a whip. And I remember I was involved years ago when they did the noise ordinance, construction noise ordinance, because we had a situation where contractors realized that they could come here and work. This is the only city you could work on Sunday, and you could work at night, and you could do things like that. And when we put an end to that, they stopped doing that. And I think with a lot of this stuff, they will do what you think they can get away with, or what you let them do. And I think our goal is to continue to communicate, and as they fill out building permits and things like that, we just say, hey, this is what we expect. And, you know, if you have an issue, come to us, but we're not going to tolerate, you know, anything. And I think, you know, it takes a little time for the message to get out. Once it gets out, that becomes a norm.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Fred, on the work time, city or is that just queuing?
The city has an ordinance, but queuing I think is more restrictive. I think the city's is 7 a.m., but I think queuing is 8 a.m.
7. It's 7, but they can enter at 7 as opposed to start at 8 when they have to shut down.
Okay, start at 8. So ours is just 7 a.m.
And they do push it a little bit, but that's not a big deal. But I guess my question is, and I know exactly where Mike's talking, the top site 45. Talked to that contractor 4 times and told him it's got to stop and it keeps going on. My question is, if you guys go by to see the lights on, can you write up a ticket?
I'll research it and
I'll give you the contractor's name and everything.
So, I think I know the contractor's name already. So
the city's is a construction noise ordinance,
right?
So
it's not work time.
I don't don't know that it's necessarily work time, but I know that it deals more with noise than it does.
The thing I need to investigate is, since the QInks are not permitted, the dock work is not permitted through the city, it's all ran through QInk, I need to make sure that it's specific to, regardless if there's a building permit or not, which I'm sure it is. So I'll just research the permit, get back to you tomorrow. And
he openly said his guys just work nights and weekends.
Yeah.
Well, that was obvious. Yeah.
No, but it's coming. I've talked to him literally four times on that. We have these big bright lights under a white tent.
Yeah.
It
was raining hard.
Yeah.
This is the first I've heard of it. So
no, it's not every night, but it's.
Yeah. If it's past the work hour time, it needs to stop.
Yeah.
I think within our noise ordinance, there are caveats in place where if it's an emergency repair,
correct,
like a roof or something,
yeah,
like that, that's a different deal. But I don't think anybody's dock is an emergency.
Right.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
Leanna?
Yeah, I want to talk about communication, too. I think you do a good job of communication. We've come light years since a few years ago when it was kind of a mystery what happened at the city council meeting. And now we've at times gone in the opposite direction, but I would never fuss at that. I did notice, though, having missed the last couple of meetings, I paid much more attention to the narrative as usual. And, for example, I'm looking at the November issue. Chief Grenier, Councilman Rimbo made a motion that Chief Grenier to purchase a new radar unit not to exceed $2,800. I'm really interested in the motions that are passed. A lot of these issues you have in City Council, like the dam wall, like runoff, like the Dubco, they go on and on and on and on. So when somebody really votes to allocate some money, I think, oh, maybe something's going to happen here. You know, that shows the end of the research phase, maybe in the beginning of the action phase. And so then to contrast that, in the February issue, I see Mrs. Best stated items must be purchased quickly, et cetera, and she could store the items until the city was ready to proceed. Councilmember Best excused herself from the vote due to possible conflict of interest. Yes, but did the motion pass? Is there money allocated for that? I'm interested in that because that's how things get from point A to point B. So I emailed Brady about it, and he said it was at council's not discretion, advice, that to include motions in the minutes makes it look too much like minutes. Everything else is included in great detail. I can think of, you know, usually when in the local newspapers, you often see headlines. It's not, you know, against the law to report, you know, the Shawnee Council voted 4-3 to pass the discrimination amendment or something like that. I just don't see why you can't include motions, and I'd like to hear more about that.
So that kind of got brought to our attention with Kathy, that the narratives were almost verbatim as the minutes, which had not been approved yet. So we sat down with Michelle, City Attorney Aaron and I did, and I think we had an example of the newspaper, and she briefly read the narrative, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of your suggestion. Everything looked okay, but maybe to leave the motions out, and that's kind of what I relayed to Leanna. Can you?
Sure. You know, Kathy and I talked about this a little bit, too. Ultimately, as you know, the minutes are not official from the city until the council votes on them at the next meeting saying, yes, that represents what happened at that council meeting. I completely agree with you that if, you know, a reporter came in and wrote an article, like you say, at the Shawnee meeting and said, here's what the vote was. Mm-hmm. So absolutely, we absolutely expect that you would write an article like that and could say what the vote was. It's an open meeting. You can give that information. the difficulty or the problem concern, I guess is probably the best word that I had and that I think Kathy had as well, is that because it's coming from the mayor and it's kind of the official city summary of what happened at the meeting, it starts to look like those are actually the minutes because it's the official city summary of it, I guess. I even recommended that kind of the summary overall shrink down a little bit. Again, because it's coming from the city. I see what you're saying. You want to know what the vote was. I completely understand that. But I also understand Kathy's concerns that that's not the minutes. And so we don't want to have a situation where something comes out in that article or in that summary that then ultimately then conflicts with what gets adopted the next month as the official or approved as the official minutes.
I think that could be remedied with beefing up this first paragraph a little bit in the spirit of transparency. Below is a narrative. This is not meant to be minutes. If you want to see minutes, like you're saying, you can refer mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. Also, as I asked Brady about, right after motions are passed, City Council can get busy on them. They can act on those motions. So as a community member, if I had something to add or to question about or I had experience with that, you know, we have a pretty knowledgeable community, for the better or worse, I would like to call that City Council member and be able to address it immediately. You know, like, what do you, I don't know. People might have questions. It just seems like I could make I don't necessarily want to, but there's a lot in here that I think could be summarized a lot. And it has been. It used to go on to a whole other page. But I sure would like to see those motions. Is there anything we could do to increase the spirit of transparency?
Would it be possible to put some of it on the following month? And now it's more of a delay to it. Maybe that's a bad idea.
There's
so much time goes by, but
well, yeah, you're already at a 3 week, you know, so it's been 2 months then. That maybe the money's already been spent and the problem solved, and probably we wouldn't hear
about it. I mean, is there a way to put, you know, talking about the bathroom fixtures, mm-hmm. Unofficial motion passed, approved.
But is it unofficial when we approve it?
Official at that point.
Yeah.
Because the difficulty is the minutes are not the official minutes. The minutes are reflective of what happened at the meeting. Obviously, they're not verbatim. They're reflective of what happened. And then you all look at them and say, yes, that's really what we believe happened. Good job summarizing those. Or, oh, we need to tweak this a little bit. So that's the part that's unofficial until you all vote on it. But you're right. The action has taken place. And, yes, you absolutely can move forward. It's an open meeting. It's a public meeting. You all can move forward with the action at that point in time. Again, it's just the appearance of those being city minutes because it is coming from the city. Certainly if a reporter's writing it, right. Even if somebody's writing an opinion piece about it, there's not a problem then.
I
think talking about, you know, people wanting to be involved, certainly the agenda goes out. People have access to that. So if they see something on the agenda and they're curious and they see something in that article and say, well, gosh, I would love to be involved in that. I think there's an opportunity for them to contact the city at that point. I mean, it's not a lack of information going out, I guess. So certainly I think people have the ability to track that information down.
I don't think the agendas are usually detailed in the manner that maybe you're suggesting. It's usually more order of operation. I mean, is there an agenda tonight? I don't know why you could pick up an agenda, but...
Yeah, and it has the items mm-hmm. that are the things that we're presenting for spending or other purposes mm-hmm. on it.
Okay, but it doesn't go against any open sunshine law or anything to print what we're printing plus the motions, does it?
You know, we can look into it a little bit more. It just comes back to... Are they the city minutes? And are we going to have discrepancies between the two? Is really the concern with that. And again, because it's coming from the city as opposed to reporting about the city is really the concern. And then again, for Kathy to have a situation where something's gone out to the community that says, here's what happened. And she's sitting here listening to what, you know, her recording, and it's a little inconsistent. That's what she's presenting to the council for approval. it just makes it a very awkward situation for her in her official position for the city.
And we just wanted to do this right, whether it's sunshine laws, Robert's rules, all that stuff. We just wanted to do it right and be transparent at the same time. And I believe the narrative was, that was your idea, was it not?
Well, Ben put the paragraph at the beginning.
Yeah,
but including more information from the city.
Yeah.
What happens at meetings. Yes, I've been
wondering. And I love it. I think it's great. And people have commented about how they love reading the narrative. But we want to be certain of what we're putting out there before these minutes are approved. Mike.
Why couldn't you, maybe after the meeting, or Kathy or somebody, just email Leanna, if she's not here, the action items, and Leanna could do a paragraph just stating what the results were as kind of almost like a reporter. Mm-hmm. In other words, it'd be a separate little paragraph or whatever on the action items. That way she's writing as a reporter, the minutes are the minutes, mm-hmm. and you're kind of, you got your summary. And
so now what's, So when we all walk away with things to do, our actions, mm-hmm. right? And we talk about those. And so when we first were doing the, whatever we called it, the narrative or the minutes, I mean, it was practically word by word and like picking up things
right.
we were all saying, it could be misinterpreted. But, to say that, we agreed to do this and we're going to start in 1 week and start working on it, is that because we voted on it.
Right.
So, it seems like there's a fine line between reporting that we agreed to do this because we can't.
Correct.
I mean, it
unless
happens.
You vote again. Correct. Unless you vote to change it. Correct. The action has already been taken.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's not a bad idea, what you mentioned as far as calling in and getting that information. A number of cities I've worked with in the past, I mean, there would almost be an aggravation level for the poor city clerk who would get these calls from these various media outlets and would say, hey, what happened at your meeting last night? I didn't want to be there at 10 o'clock for whatever was going on. Frustrating, but that reporter was then able to get the information from the city clerk, would give that information on the vote. And then it's not something coming from the mayor saying, here's what happened at our meeting, let me give you the details. You could give more of an overview. So it's more of an interview of the city clerk as to what happened. And she could certainly say, again, these are not our minutes, but here's the action that was taken. And could even say, here's what the vote was, because it is more of an interview as such of the city clerk.
And she could mention names. For instance, Gail Best made a motion to.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Because again, it would be just like any reporter walking in here and listening and could write down everything, could
right.
quote. And you'll see that a lot when you have a reporter going to a contentious meeting.
Yeah.
They'll be taking, verbatim quotes and putting that person in the paper. Like you say, sometimes it doesn't always come across the clearest,
mm-hmm.
but you'll see that a lot in these meetings where there's a lot of controversy going on. It's a great way for them
yeah.
to be able to kind of spice up.
I mean, I would be open for that. I mean, it's not like we have 20 motions a night. And,
right.
That wouldn't take hardly any time at all.
I think it would be handy for the people that don't want to read all this too to just skip to the action item.
Sure. And then it would, and are you comfortable with that, with it being an article written by you that says, here's a summary of the motions that were passed at that meeting, per an interview with the city clerk?
If you'd like me to put my name on it, I don't always come to meetings. I don't know. I mean, would there be anything wrong with the clerk sending a list of action items?
Again, it just comes back to they're not the approved minutes of this body.
Well,
and then that is her responsibility.
There's something they're already working on. There's something
correct.
They can go to
absolutely.
The next day.
Leanna, I can say that I reached out to the League of Kansas Municipalities mm-hmm. about this, and that's where I've gotten my guidance and then from Michelle as well.
I read their guidelines today as well. I didn't see anything in there.
I can't even give the minutes to the public. They can come in and make a request. I can't distribute the minutes to them until they have been approved by the council. And we're a month behind, and we're not at every two-week council meeting, so it does feel like a very long amount of time has gone by before you get that information. But I'm going to follow what the League and Michelle tells me to do, because I don't want my name in the paper on something that shouldn't have been printed before it was ready to be printed.
Is your name on it now?
No, but that's not what we're talking. You're asking for almost it to be with, you want motion, and this meeting here tonight is not going to be approved. The minutes are not going to be approved until the March 2nd meeting. So that if there are any strikes or changes that need to be made, that those can be made prior to that meeting.
One, I would like to, you and I visit with the league about even that idea of them interviewing you, because that could put you in an uncomfortable position. And so I'd like to have that conversation with them as well, and with the clerks organization that you work with as well, just to make sure there aren't concerns on that as well.
Okay. In addition to that, I think the approval of the minutes gives each one of the council members an opportunity to correct themselves if they have misspoken or misunderstands. Which,
correct.
So if we were to publish something and council member Smith did not quite understand but made a comment on the misinformation or however, it's going to be published, and we can't have that.
And that's where we were when the minutes first started coming out.
If we had an incident like that, it's going to do more damage than good. Again, the legality is there. Until it's approved, I don't think it should be published as well.
But motions?
Motions are subject to change if they were recorded wrong. Mm-hmm. We'd have that even on the queuing side, where it was recorded wrong for whatever reason.
But then you review it all before it gets published, right?
Well, the narrative,
it's a source of high writing narrative.
What we're talking about now is
you write the whole thing.
Yeah, based on
What about the paragraph disclaimer? This is a summary of unapproved meeting minutes. This is subject to change. I don't like that. I'm trying to get to a resolution here, but I don't like that because it sort of disavows what is in there that, you know, it sort of says, well, here's what happened in the meeting, but don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
It all might change, but I don't know. I don't know if that...
No, I see what you're saying. I think that's kind of what Ben was going for, you know, in the opening of the narrative, in the spirit of transparency here. You know, here's a narrative. He's not calling it the minutes, but when the minutes or when the narrative starts becoming almost verbatim, that's where it gets a little scary for us.
And did we get a lot of complaints about this? I mean, did we get a lot of feedback?
I don't think so. No.
One negative piece of feedback from Q-Wing about the...
No, I think Leanna just wanted to know what motions were passed and what was happening. Which we had done in the past up until this last article. And I see what you're saying. And we are being transparent. We just want to do it the right way. If you and Kathy want to reach out to the league and see if there's something that we can put out there that just explains the motion, you know, what it was.
It relates to the newspaper, so maybe that's the vote I'm missing, and if I am, I apologize, and I won't get it right for you and for the community, but what I've learned and what I've been taught this far is that motions are part of the minutes, and the minutes can't be distributed until they're approved. So that's just where I'm coming from only. So if there is something different that Michelle and I find from the league that says it's a different thing for the newspaper, we certainly want to make everybody happy. But
when do the audio recordings go on? After the minutes are approved?
After they're approved.
Well, thank you for your consideration.
Leanna, thank you for all you do.
All this is because of me, so you're welcome.
Well, was this your...
Well, no, I went back when I was running Communist Russia here and not... It's a lot easier, but...
Yeah. No, I think people love the narrative, and I think it's important to get it out there, kind of like Wink does, but just want to do it right, and we'll look into it for you, Leanna. And
okay.
Thank you for everything. Okay. Anything else? Okay. John?
My item would be, I've got a Bill Coles update, and
Charles, okay.
Trash trash things later.
Okay. Then we will move on. Under new business, I'm sorry, old business, we got the Holiday Drive Stormwater Study. You guys all had a copy of that last month. Should be on your computer. Chad Johnson with Olson is here. He's the one that did the study for us. He's done several projects for the city and for Q Inc. And he's going to speak about that specific project.
Here, here, Nicholas, I did want to bring some information about the firm. So if you know a little bit about us. As I mentioned, I'm Chad Johnson. I've worked in the area for about 20 years, primarily in stormwater. But I get involved in a variety of different infrastructure projects. The one I'm going to talk about today is Holiday Drive right out here at City Hall. We want to talk about Holiday Drive a little bit further down. We can talk about that as well. Or if you have questions about other projects going on or just in general, I can answer that. We can talk about the Holiday Drive project right out here, the study that we did. Took a look at really two items, even though they're right next to each other, we separated them. I'll throw this exhibit. This is also in the report. Shows Holiday Drive, proximity City Hall. That's actually upside down. I'm trying to make it up. Oh, no. City Hall is right over here. Down here is the bluff. I've heard reports that occasionally mud will come across there because that bluff comes out right next to the road. Mm-hmm. And we've got the ditch and then the railroad there on the other side. So this came up last year as to what can be done there. Suggested maybe a curb and gutter in there to help funnel stormwater. Before that, we looked at up here in the maintenance yard for Q Inc. There's a challenge with drainage there that's coming right down the hill. There's erosion that's occurring there as well. So part of the genesis of this project is how do we get stormwater from top of the hill at the maintenance shed down onto Holiday Drive, and then what do we do with it at Holiday Drive to get it safely across to the railroad ditch. So there's a culvert here, just down from City Hall. There's a concrete ditch that goes and ends there. There's a culvert that goes underneath there. And then we looked at what we could do at the bluff that's a little farther down. So looking at this pipe here, it's undersized for current standards. It'll take what we call a 1 to 2 year storm. So a moderate rainstorm, a heavy rainstorm, it's likely that water actually is going off the road and not through the pipe. So we took a look at what size pipe it would take. It's a 12 to 15 inch there. It's actually different sizes. The changes underneath there over the years, they extended it with a different size. But the pipe that should go in there is about 3 times as big to get water safely underneath there without having water overtopping the road more often than it should. That particular project right there, we estimated at about $100,000. We'll see there in the estimates. We looked at 2 different size pipes, one that's wider, more of an oval, one that's round, just to give us a different perspective. And then it dumps in the railroad ditch on the other side, and no improvements needed over there. And then we looked at extending it going up about 500 feet to the west along Holiday Drive at the bottom of that bluff, either putting in curb and gutter or putting in a concrete ditch along their concrete swale.
Like the one that's already there?
Like the one that's already there, okay. Yes. Putting inlets every so often, the road there is flat, so it requires more inlets along there and put it down in a pipe. And then carry that water in a pipe down to this crossroad culvert. Order of operations there, it makes sense to do the culvert crossing first so that there's a place for water after it's collected to go to, rather than just backing up the whole system. So we looked at both options. One was just under $300,000, one was just over $300,000. That includes the inlets, the pipes, the curb and gutter, the concrete work that would be needed there, and restoring the road there. Because right now there's not much of a crown on the road and it's very flat, so doing a little bit of asphalt work there to restore a little bit of a crown to push that water off into the center of the curb and then get it off the road and down into those inlets and pipes. Neither one is an easy fix. Construction would require possibly going down to one lane there, maybe signals at each end or flagging during the day, and then they can open up to two-way traffic at night. But it would be messy, and there would be a period of time there where it would be inconvenient with the construction going on there.
Now, what is the impact? Because you know, over the last 2 years, we've been hearing about, oh, it's all coming from the maintenance, yeah. And you know, we're going to have to get together and share this project and all of that. And so, in the discussion that you just had, does that remedy the what's happening up above, or that's just our own situation here on Holiday?
That's just a Holiday Drive situation. That prepares Holiday Drive for a solution to bring the water down up to Holiday Drive and have a place to put it. That's the purpose of this crossroad.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is it? I mean, to me, it seems like the bigger issue is mud.
Yeah.
Does this solve the mud problem, or?
It would. There's a couple things going on with mud. One is the ditches are full at the bottom, so anything that comes up the hillside is going in the street. That's what happens now. So by this solution, it would provide a place down there that can be clean, but the concrete typically is self-cleaning once you get it going there. So there would be a space at the bottom that would collect the mud. You have a problem with where it's going. The second part of that is collecting the drainage from the maintenance yard up here. Would eliminate that concentrated flows that take soil away, and you would just have the water that's falling on the hillside, so it significantly reduced it. So I think just doing this without doing something above there would still be a problem with sediment. It would just be less frequent.
And does that sediment or mud or whatever not getting fixed up top, does that shorten the duration of the life of this implementation?
It would increase the maintenance. The sediment and mud down in there wouldn't really degrade the infrastructure, but it would clog it up. So you'd have to have the company you talked about before, they probably do cleaning, some of that cleaning as well, or a JetBack company to come out and clean out those pipes.
Is there a benefit to just doing the culvert, the 100, 103, 108,000?
Yeah. There is, from a safety perspective. You get water over the road at much less frequency. It's actually designed so that the 100-year storm, the common design, would go underneath the road. Whereas right now, after a heavy rain, a 3-inch rainstorm in an hour would probably have water going across the road. So from a safety perspective, it would bring it up to current standards. Just doing that. It also gives you a place to take water from up here, so it could help start addressing the challenge of getting water from here down onto to Holiday Drive and safely over here. The challenge is getting water across Holiday Drive over into the railroad ditch there, because the railroad ditch is deep and that's where it wants to go.
Does it currently flow to the east?
It goes west.
Northeast? Okay, so
it actually goes down here to the bridge that they've been working on.
On the opposite side of Holiday.
On the opposite side of Holiday. Correct.
On the
south side here, it actually wants to flow a little bit this way, but it's very flat.
Okay, so just doing the culvert could still have settling of sediment.
Of sediment, yes.
In that area.
Yes.
And there's no, this is Wyandotte County, right? So there's no sort of funding
County program that might help subsidize the improvements.
Okay. Bruce Rimbo was kind of leading the charge in this. If you look at figure four, to me that looks like a lot of this water is, I mean, even up by the queuing office, starting up there and up by the driving range. I never like saying, you know, this is a Q Inc. issue or a city issue or anything like that. But to me, this does look like a lot of water is coming from Q Inc. property onto city property. And, you know, part of that responsibility is the hillside for the city. Is this something Q Inc.'s talked about, John?
Put $75,000 in the budget 2 years ago. We did a study last year. You know what happened we brought that to the committee or to the council. Yeah, we're looking at it. We've been looking at it for 2 years. It's been on my radar since 2017 when I did the infrastructure study. The water, if you go back there, it's been there. There's actually, you can see where it's coming. It's we're channeling some of it. We're sanding up some of it with the curving and that we put around the parking lot with the community center.
Mm-hmm.
We're changing one pathway, which we still need to talk to Chad on a little bit, to reduce the amount of water that runs past the Q-Link office building.
Right.
It's not going to significantly affect that. Most of the water, in my opinion, is literally from the dumpster area that way, golf maintenance the other way, and it comes from behind. It all goes into one spot about the size of your portion of the desk here. And that's what we've got to control. We had I believe the number was about $130,000, and that's what we brought to y'all last year. And then the question came up, well, is this pipe undersized, or will it handle the water? It won't. This is very similar to what, it's a smaller duck cove, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
The box culvert, we increased per Chad's design by 2.5 times just to control the water coming off the Johnson County watershed that goes all the way to Johnson and Renner Road. In addition to that, was the second piece of that, and so that's when we put the stormwater system in, the box culverts and the piping, to try and control that water coming off of Navajo in particular and guide it to the right location. So I think there's two pieces to this. Yeah, we're going to have to do something up above.
Yeah.
Our money's been sitting there since it was approved in November of 2017. And then the comments or discussion always was, Q-Inc would take care of it up above, the city takes care of it down below. Mm-hmm. Because the ditches haven't been cleaned out in years.
Right.
There's no ditches left. And we have the same problem on the Q-Inc side too enough.
Yeah.
You know, subdivision or whatever you want.
Well, it would seem to me that if Q-Inc could eliminate some of that water up there, maybe we wouldn't need such a big culvert, three times the size as what's there.
If I could jump in, then maybe you can. We'll never get rid of the water.
I'm not saying getting rid of it.
What we have to do is bring it down or bring it to in a more controlled manner. So, because part of the siltation is velocity and volume. Is that right, Chad? As far as siltation and erosion.
Right.
Yeah, going down the hillside.
Which would eliminate the amount of water that ends up in the new proposed
culvert. The water will be the same. If you got 2,000 gallons of water up here, it's got to get to here to go to the river. We can't, there's no place else we can take that water. It's got to come down the hill.
When we size a pipe, we size it for a peak flow that is only a small part of the storm.
Right.
And so it's kind of like the parking lot at Walmart that they build this big parking lot and you never see it fill up with cars. And same thing with stormwater. We're designing that for a very rare event. And when you're looking at peak flows, once things are established, you either look at detention upstream to reduce that peak, or you look at conveyance or in this case, a pipe that will safely move the water through there. So when we're looking at reducing at the area to a pipe, the area that's attributed to that pipe typically won't change very, very, very much at all. So we're either looking at storing it and metering it out somewhere in the area that's draining there, or having something big enough to pass the water through there.
Okay.
So when we talk about getting rid of water, that would mean some type of detention pond.
This is the same thing, Brady, and everybody that we've run in throughout our entire community. When I did that study, I identified 68 homes where they removed the roadside ditches. The way Lake Cuberon was laid out back in the 20s, that is the stormwater system.
Yeah.
And as our members and homeowners filled in those ditches and put flower beds and grass, it totally eliminated them. And then we made it worse by overlaying roads versus milling them down and putting the crown back in, which we're now doing. Per Olson's recommendation over 2 years ago, I mean, we brought a lot of this on ourselves. And a lot of the water and mud that runs across roads, the problem is because it doesn't drop into those ditches because homeowners have filled them in. And we're having a hard time making them put them back. They won't do it.
Yeah.
Chad, I have a question for you. Since Holiday Drive is such a heavily trafficked road, since it qualifies for that, whatever level, have you heard of any state funding that possibly could be available in that kind of an area?
The state funding has been a little low in the past several years. There's potential they'll look a little more at local projects here. So that is something that certainly could be broached with KDOT, see where that would fall on the priority list.
Okay.
Does FEMA affect anything there? Because I know down in Texas, every now and then, occasionally there was money available through FEMA for infrastructure improvements to prevent flooding.
There can at times. There has to be a disaster declaration, and typically you need to have
reactive instead of proactive.
And so it's we're a few cities that did have actual storm damage from the storms 2015, 2016, and not everything that they had got because it didn't meet the criteria of it was related to this disaster. But if the city wanted to look for other funds, there are some disaster mitigation grant funds that packaged correctly, there may be a case to be made out here. It's not a slam dunk, so I guess I'm not optimistic that it would rank as one of the highest projects in any country.
John, from the city side, I would have a hard time voting for anything without having the queuing side done. It sort of feels like, you know, sweeping the floor and then dusting the ceiling fan afterwards. So how do we get that communication, you know, going to where it becomes an if-then with Q Inc.?
Well, like I say, in 2017, the November budget vote, there was $75,000 that was set for this project. At that time, we weren't necessarily looking this expensive down below. I've had that on it. I mean, discussion's there. We just need to move it along. Now, timing of this, if the city elects to do a lease, and I went through this thing, and I don't know, I mean, I'm not the engineer, but I mean, if just this first phase was done, whichever round or oval pipe, it's the same accomplishment. I would think that needs to be done first, then we start dealing up above, and then, you know, with roads and that, you just put the crown back or whatever. I mean, those discussions are going on. I'll bring them up again. Actually, this next board meeting we have, I've got a whole discussion on infrastructure. We got 5 water main breaks on Lakeshore West just the last month. And one of them occurred because they fixed 3 of them, one after another, turned the water back on and busted one down later down that evening. I've been lectured on this for several years. We have got serious infrastructure issues that are coming up. Duck Cove, $110,000 of that was replacing a 70-year-old gas main.
Right.
Because it was falling apart.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally not Dakota. It was literally come out of the ground. So I'm not going to get into all that. We've got serious infrastructure stuff coming up.
Yeah.
You looked at a lot of them in the last couple of years, and I don't know if you want to comment additionally, but.
It's not unique to Lake Quivira. There's a lot of metal pipe that was put in. Out in Lake Quivira, and metal pipe tends to rust over time because we put a lot of salt on the roads in winter to keep people safe. And there's a thin coating on them, so they tend to rust. And then once the bottom rusts out, we start to lose material, and then we see sinkholes that come up. So it's a challenge in the city of Lake Quivira and also really throughout the Kansas City metro area of infrastructure that's getting older.
I can keep the discussion going with the queuing. It's got to happen. The money's sitting there. There is money available to at least start curbing and stuff up above. But like I said, I look at this project as the water has got to go down here. I mean, we can either shift it to the other end, and then we may have more problems out at that end, because there's a couple of these going down the road. I mean, there are the waterfall goes. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a whole system that runs underneath. I mean, it's got to be done in pieces. It's got to be coordinated. Of course, Olson's our engineer on it, too, which is an advantage because they understand both sides of this.
So then what's your opinion on what John just said about starting, like he called it phase one of replacing that culvert before we do anything up above?
To me, it makes the most from a planning perspective, typically in stormwater, we start at the bottom of where we're working and we work our way up. So it makes sense to do this work on Holiday Drive. But from a planning perspective, it would make sense to have a good idea of what was maybe going to happen here in the future, as well as what was going to happen up here on the maintenance to get the water down there, so that construction of this culvert can facilitate future construction, whether it's one right after the other, whether it's the same project, or whether it's there's a time difference of a few years, but so that the next phase of the project can fit right in there with the work that's done. But I think from a planning perspective, they can both move forward parallel. But from a timing perspective, the culvert here on Holiday Drive, regardless of what else is done along Holiday Drive or up above, that culvert really needs to be the first thing that's completed in the field.
And that was the 100,000.
That was 100,000.
What's the worst case scenario or the drawback of just clearing out that ditch, putting the new culvert in, fixing what's above, and keeping the roadside area a ditch that's cleaned out? That's the big number item.
Yes, yes it is. And quite honestly, I think it makes sense to do this culvert and then the fix up here and then see what happens. From a prediction standpoint, there will still be some sediment that gets down in there, but how much, that depends somewhat on how much it rains and what's the impact of when we really do take away this water up here. As an engineer, I can calculate over 20 or 50 years what we think will happen, but really when we're changing the path of water, which we would be doing with the maintenance up here, there's a lot of potential sediment here, but it's a lot of the hillside itself has reached stability, I think. So I think I would recommend actually replacing the culvert, getting the stormwater from the maintenance area fixed, and then clean up the ditch and see what's there. That would be my recommendation if I were asked.
And where on that picture, because it feels like remembering walking up and down that road, you know, where the concrete is,
yes,
is obviously not where the problem is, but it's feels like it's just, isn't it just wet? Which side of the bluffs is it where all that mud, you know, I mean, just walking on it, you could slip and fall.
Yeah.
Where is it on that picture?
It would be right here.
So it's
right about where that 600 is. It's just down below the maintenance, there's a rock outcropping that you can see there.
Mm-hmm.
That really narrows up
the
space that's available on the road. And either side of that rock outcropping is likely where a lot of the sediment is coming from, because it erodes from up above as well as just washing down from.
Because that's the dangerous part, right?
And that's the most dangerous part, yes.
But
really all along here where that bluff is close to the road, I think you do get, there's actually a secondary place you can note, you can see a little bit farther west of there, where there's erosion that's coming down off the hillside as well,
mm-hmm.
and bringing down some extra sediment.
Okay. So if we do go through with this, and QN goes through with their end, you kind of said we can wait and see, you know, how it does, time frame on that.
Time frame on the wait and see?
Yeah.
It depends on what types of years we have.
Right.
If we have a wet year, following year, and it doesn't fill up, or we don't have sediment out on the road, it's probably a good fix. If there's sediment still coming out on the road, then I think it would be good to take a look at doing some more improvements down here.
Okay.
It's likely 5 to 10 years, I would guess. If you look at average years, it'd probably be 5 to 10 years. Before you'd have a good feel of, are we going to get sediment across the road or not, or get mud across the road.
Okay. All right. We've got this listed under old business, so we can talk to Aaron about if we want to do this and how we pay for it. Does anybody have any questions for Chad, anything else on this particular project?
Not on this one, but I'd like to see what, I mean, we have other issues too, up further up the road.
Yep, and he said that he's, you can talk about that as well.
You're an expensive man.
Yeah.
We need you in the office.
Hey, fire station.
See,
it's in 12. He's like, well, speaking
of. So I said this to Guy here a few weeks ago. Looking at just a little bit farther up where the road gets a little bumpy on that north side, the river side of the road, the guardrail is no longer vertical, it's horizontal. And just took a look at what would it take. When you drive down the road, and I was just looking at it coming in, the lane that's up against the hillside seems to be fairly stable. It's the outer lane that has the problems. You can tell it's been overlaid more than once, and there's still bumps. For asphalt, when we see the bumps like that, it makes us think there's something happening underneath the asphalt. It's not the asphalt itself that's causing that. So that would be, often it's a subgrade. The other thing, a couple other things I noticed, obviously you're on a hillside there that drops down into the ditch beside the railroad. So it's quite possible that there's a problem with the whole slope there and not just what's right underneath the road. The other thing I noticed is the driveway that comes in here,
mm-hmm.
There's no culvert underneath there, so stormwater actually runs down here, runs across the road, and is causing the secondary problem right there. You can see the guardrail lays over a little bit more, and there's actually the slope is steeper there where that water runs across the road and down slope. So there's just a general challenge there with the slope, but there's also another secondary problem where that driveway comes and stormwater actually crosses the road and runs down the hillside.
How new is that driveway?
New.
Very. In the last year.
Yeah.
That's Randy's, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think the gravel is probably better.
Previously it wasn't. The one side was just gravel. They asphalted that, and then they added the piece coming down, and that's the real steep one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like stormwater had been crossing over longer than the year, but that didn't help anything. So.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of stormwater to take care of there, some piping, but it's likely, without going out and actually investigating, can't say for sure, but it's likely that whole slope needs to be rebuilt. And so that's included in the price of about 300 feet long, I think, here. Going in, taking out the asphalt, rebuilding that slope, putting the asphalt back, and then putting the guardrail back.
No,
that
that's
about $130,000, I think.
Oh, so that's extra.
Yeah.
The number we put there.
And Aaron mentioned KDOT, because we do have a lot of traffic that's not ours, a lot of large trucks. And,
yes.
Is that something you'd recommend we look into on this project?
Yes. It's absolutely worth asking the question and see what they have available.
Yeah.
From whatever perspective that you want to look. You're next to the railroad, so you don't want anything to happen to the railroad. Although that's not my concern, but sometimes that will spark interest. You do have other trucks coming through here. This is a secondary connection. There's an alternative to 435.
Yeah.
And so there are some potential opportunities. KDOT does seem to be getting a little bit more funding now as well.
Really?
So.
There's
a lot of people that have been waiting several years for that funding. So.
Yeah. In the Johnson County CARS program that I looked into, well,
no,
they're not going to help us there.
No, it's a little bit north of
yeah. the Let me ask you kind of a weird question. This was brought to my attention. Somebody thought that the north lane was actually not Lake Quivira city limit, but that was actually KCK. And the reason this all got brought up was that road has been patched before, and all it took was a simple call to KCK from our mayor, and they came out and patched it. I know Fred's looked into it, Greg's looked into it, I'm sure you did too. But I would love to be 100% that is in fact our property, and that there isn't something funky where the north lane in that area would be.
I can take a look again. I actually think there's a line that crosses the road this way, not only parallel, but there's one that crosses the road in here too.
Okay.
As well. So there may be a piece here that's why that's unified government, and then a piece over here. That
but it was Mark Steffen, our old fire chief, who was out here for years, who brought that to my attention.
And they as the county, they may have come out and done it, or they may not have known either, and so they came out and did it.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's another point of contact that I think is worth exploring, is to see what not necessarily interest, but what program, or is there a way to help have them help pay for some of this as part of their what they do as a county, or if part of it's in city limits. One of the challenges is a long railroad right of way, where those limits get often described hundreds of times, and they're not always described in the same line. So even in incorporated cities, we'll get property lines that are 10 or 20 feet different, and they're described differently in different documents, and whoever wants to own the land says this one's correct or that one's correct.
Yeah.
But that's certainly something. If one can make a call to unified government and ask them, and they're willing to come to a quick cooperative agreement, then it doesn't really matter where it is if they're willing to play ball.
There's some on a website called like My Yoko or something like that, where you can send pictures and send it on their website. Do you happen to know anything about that?
I don't. I'm sure it is. There's really advanced technology. Google probably collects.
I'll look more into it. I was given the, because we have a dozen actual houses in Wyandotte.
Yeah.
And their city council member was the one I was recommended to getting with those 12 people, those 12 homeowners. And they need to call their city council member in Wyandotte. Does that sound right? I thought I was a city council member, but maybe they were too. Well, we were.
Not only
the
county.
They're the county commission.
Okay.
No, so they don't have, it's not city council, it's the county commission.
Okay. I know that'd be dangerous. they're that commissioner. And they sent some sort of picture and put it on the website. I'm like, it's called my, I'll look into it more. But you actually take pictures of the road and submit it to this app and hope something happens, I guess. I don't know, I follow up on it.
That's more common now that cities will have an automatic report of problem where you take a picture and you can post it. Some sit, like you do anonymously, some don't. But then it gets flagged in their system that, hey, there's a problem out here, and we'll send someone out to at least take a look at it. I think that's a good way to bring attention to the problem. It's likely if they would come out and put down a little asphalt and check it off.
Yeah.
Out of the system. But if that hasn't been flagged as a problem or it keeps coming back up, that is one way to draw attention to there's a safety concern, not just an aesthetics or a concern about road roughness, but there's a true safety concern because the guardrail sits over, and if you get off that road, you're just down in the ditch.
Yeah.
So. That is a good way to generate at least interest in the problem from a different angle, not on the technical side, but on the political side, and see if there's a program or something that they're looking to do.
I think there's got to be some sort of value with this holiday drive. It seems to be a huge liability on our end, but just going to these smaller cities in like Missouri where Lake of the Ozarks is only small towns, you drive to the center of it. And those small towns can't afford these road repairs. It just, we're looking at $500,000 of holiday drive repairs here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of took the advice of Ben Calney. I said, how the heck did you get that road patched up there? And it was a simple phone call to Mayor David Albion, and they sent somebody out and did it. So even just to get the ball rolling, it could end up being a conversation where, hey, look, can you help us out, and we'll do this, you do this part, and go from there. But, yeah, Greg, if you could look into the My Yoko thing or whatever it was called, and maybe some KDOT, if you want to get with Aaron.
I emailed him one thing.
Yeah, it was, I looked at, it was something between state highways. You could be around an interstate.
Oh, is that what that was?
That's a catch, right?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one and I was like,
this is a huge long shot. A former banker of mine who's a city council member, City of Shawnee, has now quit his job being my banker. And he's now the budget director for the state of Kansas.
Cool.
Works with the governor and the secretary of KDOT.
Oh.
Mike donated to this campaign. And I called him and asked him about this. And that he said, you take that pretty easy. And a month ago, I've heard nothing, so I might reach out to him again to see if I know him really well. And I was jokingly saying, we might just move our guard gate all the way up to Holiday Drive. And now we have toll bridge. And that'll help pay for this Holiday Drive thing unless you guys can help us. And he laughed and said he'd have to KDOT call. He was not joking about that. He was serious about it, but I've not heard anything, so.
I start.
I kind of like this toll bridge idea. Sound like amazing. We have to solve a lot of problems here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it would just, it'd be great to get some assistance with that project and then with the other project going on. So Greg, if you can look into that, let me know if you need anything from me and deal with Aaron and KDOT and figure that out. Any other questions for Chad on this one? No?
Yeah.
And, who would like to tackle the runoff issue? I know Gail and John have tackled a Holiday Drive before. It's not exactly a holiday project. It's more of a runoff project. I don't want to put too much on Greg's plate if you're already doing a Holiday Drive down the street. Any volunteers to kind of spearhead that with Q Inc. and get the ball rolling with Aaron and talk about whether or not we want to do that and how we're going to pay for it. Cricket? Greg, you think you can handle both at once?
Yeah, I'll take a shot.
I'm willing to help.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Greg and Annie, you guys want to tackle it together? And
take on John?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, work with John. I'm
here
to work with John.
Work with John. Yeah.
I'm not his tech.
Get his money.
Okay. I mean, these are two projects, in my opinion, especially the second one, with that guardrail.
I hear about this from our neighbor. I mean, every time we're like, oh, my God, what are you guys doing on that?
Yeah. So,
the guardrail or the?
The road, this project. The road, the issues, the people going into the opposing lane. I do, too, because I don't want to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Try riding a bicycle up there or something.
Yeah,
no, thanks. The problem was when they fixed it last time with Ben's call.
Yeah.
They didn't fix it.
Oh yeah, I completely agree.
They never dug in.
I told John that's been the last three mayors, the last three phone calls.
They just kind of throw assholes down and kind of drive over it a few times. It's all good.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you there. But
it's gotta be done right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
The phone call and the action happened quick, but it was never been the action that should occur.
Yeah.
30 feet of asphalt under
that. What about just pour a new lane on the other side and just let that turn that into a shoulder?
Yeah.
I believe John Christie said it once as putting a band-aid on a stab wound.
Oh, yeah.
I am going to make a discussion at our board meeting this week just on infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's going to be water main breaks and that. I'll bring this up again.
Okay.
Kind of as a summary of council.
Okay.
Together, we've got to start with this. Is only going
to get worse. Yeah, Leslie Treese has reached out to me about it, and
with their checkbook?
Not so much.
They were complaining when they come out of their driveway.
Okay.
Any questions on any other projects going on?
Is there a lot of engineering? How about the time frame for? Is there much engineering work to be done on that?
This one, there'd be some drilling, so it'd probably be 2 or 3 months of engineering to get up, do some drilling, take a look at what the soil samples are, and then press it down.
Do we have to pull any permits with anyone?
I don't know where the railroad right away sits in there. That's one variable.
Supposedly right next to it.
The slope may actually be in railroad right away, which would make life a little more cumbersome.
Someone tell me the right of way is wherever you want to be.
And then, but there shouldn't, environmental permits, there shouldn't really be any. I don't know if Wyandotte has the permit for on a county road or classification, but I don't foresee permitting being an issue there.
Chad, do you guys do the construction work on this or just the engineering side?
We do the engineering and construction observation. We don't do the actual.
So similar to a DEPCO for
DEPCO. So we can do the geotech, the surveying, the design, roadway design.
Could you help us bid it out also?
Yes.
Do we have to bid it out or we want to bid it out?
They do all that.
I would recommend you bid it out.
Yeah.
It's big enough.
We technically don't have to, but for a large project, we have all of
it. And hopefully you have some funding partners who would come in and want to do that, or want to do that as well. So, unless you have someone who's gives you a really good bid. Also, timing of this, you'd want to think about wanting to get it done. Winter might be a little more difficult because it'd be a little more dangerous having construction there. It might be better to do it in the summer.
So is this the time to bid stuff out like that?
Actually, often something like this would bid out April, May, and then they'd get it done over the summer.
From a priority standpoint, though, if we're looking at, it's really the phase one of the first project and then this, because then we're going to wait for phase two potentially just to see whatever's done. But so what's the priority between phase one and this?
I think this gets
to me.
Attention.
To me, this. That's my opinion.
Looking at it from a purely, from a safety standpoint as well as public perception standpoint, this one does seem like it needs attention quicker than the pipe, because the city's lived with the pipe and the mud for quite a few years, but this keeps getting worse, and the potential for someone going off the road, while the liability of that is completely separate, but just from a public safety standpoint, it would seem that this would probably be the top priority.
I hear about this one another long time. I never hear about mud. So.
Well, the thing is, let me ask a question. I don't know that I disagree.
130.
But we're not just bringing the backhoe out and doing a really good cleaning of that ditch, help alleviate some of that mud run across the road. It has some place to go.
Yes.
So, I mean, we could do some low-cost maintenance, defer that for 6 months while this other one's done. Mm-hmm. Because right now, the reason it comes right across the road is because it runs right across.
Yeah.
I mean, a backhoe, I don't know if that would even be something that we could pick on. I don't know.
Sure. It's worth looking into. Be temporary.
When you say we take on, who's, what do you mean by
using like our backhoe?
Yeah.
Like
a
key engine. We just have to have a way to haul it off. I'm just saying that maybe do a little bit of maintenance like the roosters. Get the main, that one fixed, and come back. And then if we do the other phase one thing, I would anticipate we need to be lined up to do something up above almost simultaneously within a matter of a couple of months. It's not that QA should wait 2 years after you fix this.
Yeah. So
they need to be lined up together.
Yeah, agree.
And maybe even do the final engineering together.
Yeah. But I like your idea of just a temporary fix. Just
get the dish cleaned up, you know, that will help.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. All right. Any more questions for Chad?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
My contact information is there. If you have questions that come up, give me a call.
Yeah. As always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move on to consider approval of minutes. Did everybody have a chance to read the minutes from the January meeting?
Mm-hmm. I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, got a motion to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, any opposed? Any discussion? Okay, motion passes. Treasurer's report, Aaron Leckie. Did everybody get Aaron's?
Okay. For the month, we were 1% above budget for revenues and 7% below budget for expenses. Only thing we were under for revenue was franchise fees from Westar, so it looks like it's going to have that same pattern that it took last year for anyone who wasn't here then, where it starts off really low, make the Giants catch back up during the summer, and then ends on an even keel. So just an FYI, so far that's what I am forecasting out. We cashed out our bond liability account, so that was transferred over to cash. I want to point out to those longstanding council members that we are above, finally, on court fines. So we've finally adjusted our expected numbers down low enough where we are on target.
That's sweet.
Just FYI. For check detail, a couple that I wanted to point out on page 3, you'll see the $157,000 to D.F. Anderson related to Duck Cove. You'll see the $17,000 to Rainbow Fireworks on the same page for the 4th of July. And then on the next page, you'll see the $24,000 to Olson, also related to Duck Cove. And then on the last page, a payment was made to Queuing. Kind of explain those a little bit. If you go to page 1 of the deposit detail, we've kind of switched up a little bit, John and I, through our discussions over handling Duck Cove. We get the VF Henderson bills towards the beginning of the month. I pay those. John puts together the packet, and we send that over to the county. Then we wait for the county check to come in so that that way Queuing is not paying us, and then we're turning around and paying them back. This seems to flow a little better. For the smaller Olson-type invoices, we've still been doing where Queuing will pay us, and then once we get the Johnson County check, we'll pay them the 25% of that sale, if that makes sense. So you'll see the Johnson County Treasury check for $237,000 plus on page 1 of the deposit detail, and then the Queuing check for the two Olson bills that I referred to earlier on page 2 of deposit detail. We did get our year-end statement for our CD that you can see on the journal entries, plus one related to a building permit closeout, and then the credit card detail is attached as well.
And you just recently requested reimbursement on that?
Yeah, we're doing the same thing. We paid another, you'll see in February, same exact thing, where we paid a VF Anderson bill around
$120,000
or $116,000.
There's $115,000
and then we have 24 Olson. Yeah. We just filed for $139,000.
How long does that usually take? I know it depends. They like Aaron.
Yeah, I know.
It was slow at first, and now they've got it
quicker. No, it took Aaron 3 months. First one, but then I kind of explained to him that because we are a smaller city and things like this do really affect our budget numbers, whereas if you were a Shawnee or Oakland Park, it probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Since we are, I requested that if I pay him by like the 10th of the month, if I receive the check by the end of that month, I really appreciate it.
And it worked last time,
so
right?
Far?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One time it did not. Twice, now it has.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, though, Queuing
yes,
will pay
the
$115,000 total by before the end of the month, so that Aaron's or the city books are clean.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
Good job, Aaron. Any questions for Aaron or her treasurer's report?
Can we go initial?
We need initial. We also need to approve.
I will make a motion to approve.
Okay.
A second.
We got a motion and a second. Any opposed? Any other discussion? Okay, motion passes. I don't believe.
And we did, just a side note, we did have the audit this month. I think they sent out a letter to everyone that I think, Kathy, did you put in the mailboxes,
yes.
Just listing off like that, yes, the audit has been performed. We should have the report either this month or next month at the latest.
Okay.
Running smoothly.
Good. Snack report, says Bill Cole. But.
I guess three things. Number one, the OPI project. All the control systems are sitting in the garage back or the firehouse back here. I think we got the last piece in, Kathy, about a week or so ago. The primary tube has been delivered to AgriDrain, so they can put the actual valve system, connect all that. It's supposed to be shipped approximately February 24th. And once it arrives, all the components will be here. At that point, Bill and I had just a minor discussion. Jesus said he can read on them. We just have to get a contractor basically to dig the hole and set it. Right now, we're having a little bit of problems keeping that pond dry because the water freezes up and stuff. So we'll have to get that sorted out. So hopefully, sometime in March, late March, we'll be starting to install the tube and everything.
Okay.
But everything's coming on that. Aaron or Kathy, he was in contact with the lake level monitoring. I don't know if he ever heard back. The system's supposed to be up and running. We're trying to schedule a time frame for to test the warning system, and we'll have to update the contact individuals on that. On our side, or queuing side, of course, I'll be on it. George Winters and Justin Thomas, and then the general manager when we identify a new one. And I don't know, I think you may have to update your side as well. I think the mayor was on it. And,
yeah.
Mark.
And you did, Aaron, take Gary off of all administrative codes, everything here, right?
Okay. Yeah.
The last piece is Duck Cove. We're hoping to finish the concrete tomorrow on the main project. So we'll start, we're having a meeting tomorrow, start some of the restoration. We'll be able to do some of that over the next week, week and a half, but pretty much should be done other than final sod placement by the end of next week. Kansas Gas is running much slower on their concrete work and for their road repairs. And then, let's see, we'll hopefully knock on something. By the end of next week, pretty much be out of there, waiting on weather, and then we'll get the sod.
Right.
Hopefully the final restoration. And I would say we should wrap up the expenses on it by maybe April, or I'm guessing, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're much smaller now if we're going out. And then we do have 5% held back for the 651, so it's roughly $32,000 to $33,000, which will be kind of our holdback to take care of any issues that come up. So I'll be very happy to get that.
When does the road...
Okay, right now we are already on McEnany's list. We're looking late April, early May. And we're actually going to be doing more than was originally budgeted, but we'll be doing all of Navajo, all the way from Borberg's house to Soika's house at the other end. So that'll be, we want it done before Memorial Day.
Okay.
You know, summer. I think summer events actually start like a week before that. So that's late April or May. And the area will look, it's going to really look nice when it's done.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Well, thanks for doing that, John.
No, I think that was it.
Okay. Police chief's report.
11 citations, 9 warnings, 6 reports, 13 incidents handled by officers, 502 residential patrols, and 191 president's property checks. If anybody had any questions on the detailed list.
What would constitute a parent-child dispute?
Well, I'm sure you may have had a few.
Well, I've never involved in the police.
There are occasions where a child may disagree with the parent to the extent that the parent calls the police, and we do our best to try to mediate those situations, explain what's required by law, things of that nature, and if there's ever an incident where we have to take... legal action, such as an arrested juvenile, we will, but not in those circumstances.
So does that necessitate a report then, or is it?
My policy is pretty much every time we involve a juvenile, the officer write a report. That way, if there's ever a question from the parents, that it's all documented. So it's just best practice to always document juvenile contacts in a report.
How is your police car running?
It needs a tune-up, and it's rolling around 90,000 miles, so we're probably due to get a new one probably soon. So.
And the tune-up, is that one of those that takes a few days? Or
this design vehicle, Ford engineers, from what I understand, they have to take the intake off to get to the spark plugs and coil packs that are on the back side of the motor. So it's a
it's a V6 and it sits sideways in the front wheel and all-wheel drive car. It's weird. The way the design is, it's going to be down for at least a couple days.
So what have we done in the past? Do we rent a vehicle?
Depending on the situation, I had either given the officers time off, and I've covered the shift with my personal vehicle and or been on call, or we've rented a car and put in temporary lights there. I'm reluctant in doing that because if there's an enforcement action or I guess what the when I first started, I was given the keys to a, I don't know, it was a tan color Corolla or something with Texas plates, and it's got lights in it, and I'm like, and I'm thinking to myself that if I were getting pulled over by a Corolla with lights in it,
I ain't stopping.
Right.
Yeah.
Something's not right there. Yeah. So I think that's kind of a setup for some issues there. So I have almost always refrained from a rental car. The only time we've had one is during some warranty work on this one, and they were fortunate enough to give us a white Ford Explorer, which was almost identical except leather and loaded. So that is a little bit better than a Toyota Corolla or whatever that car was. So I have high concerns of going down that rental car issue or path again. So.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like every 3 years, 100,000 miles or so, we're getting a new vehicle. So I knew it was probably coming up.
Is it in our budget for this issue? It is. Okay.
Okay. We can obviously talk about this later, but it just popped in my head. Would it be worth
30.
What?
$30,000 is in our budget.
That's in our budget?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking.
What do we usually just sell the old car outright, or we don't trade it in, we just sell it, right?
I've handled the sales in the past, and we've typically put it on eBay, and they bring anywhere from, I want to say $5,000 to $6,000.
We can talk about it later, but it might be worth just thinking about maybe instead of selling it outright, maybe keeping it as a secondary vehicle. I don't know if we need it, but it's something to think about.
Like I mentioned, with the rental car, having a secondary vehicle would combat those issues, along with other benefits I could see of it, along with the speedy complaints that were addressed today. If there were complaints, we could actually better staff that with more than one vehicle in an area.
Sometimes when that just a vehicle parked, the lights on in the clubhouse parking lot slows that damn speed down quite a bit. You don't have to put a body in it.
The other benefit, John mentioned it too, is the 4th of July and other significant events.
And you know, we don't arrest a lot of people out here, but if you arrest somebody in a rental car, there's no divider there.
There's another huge liability. Now, granted, we've been pretty fortunate here. And in the 10 years I've been here, I've only had one combative person, and they were to the extent, and I was fortunate to have Wyandotte County have their actual paddy wagon available.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them come out to transport this person that was kicking and screaming. But if we were in a rental car again, or let's say just if I was using my truck,
right?
There's no cage, there's no partition. If something were to happen, there's always that what if, and I think if we do our due diligence and cover our bases, have a backup car that has a cage, it eliminates all those questions of what if.
Yeah. Okay. Well, like I said, something to think about.
What's the value of that vehicle? Did you already say that?
$5,000-$6,000.
Roughly, they sell $5,000 to $6,000. To me, you're going to be writing a check 10 times that if something goes south. So.
Well, there's the use of the empty fire station.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have room for it, so.
Okay. And actually, I think, it would fit still
in one bay with the hovercraft, as long as we still keep that. But.
Yeah. Okay.
We did budget for it in the reserve accounts. So if a miracle occurs and we don't need it this year, it will be one that carries forward.
Okay. Cool. All right. Fire Chief's report. I talked to Mark. It was a great conversation. I'll get into that in my mayor's report. City clerk's report. Kathy, anything?
Didn't have anything.
Okay. I would like to say good job on this intranet access on our computers. It's super easy. I can get on it on my iPad. So good work on that. City attorney report. Michelle, do you have anything? No? Okay. All right. Mayor's report. First order of business on my mayor's report is appointing a new city attorney. Everybody got the email about Ellis.
Oh, I didn't. Well, if I did, maybe I just didn't catch it. What
happened?
What happened?
An email was sent out, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Did we all get one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It was from Kathy.
Just due to time commitment and other things, Ellis had to step down.
I was hoping something was, was
health-wise, he's fine. He just had to step down. So in his place through May of 2020, when we appoint our next officers, Aaron and I met with Michelle Day. She's been here in the past. She was here at our last meeting. We had a good meeting with her shortly after our January meeting. So it is my recommendation to appoint Michelle Days as the city attorney until May of 2020. I do need a vote, a motion and a vote to approve that.
I make a motion to approve Michelle Days as city attorney until May of 2020.
Correct. Okay. Got a second? Any opposed? Okay. Any discussion? All right, all those in favor?
All right.
Did I already say that? Those opposed? All right, motion passes.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. We have a dam inspection report coming up between April of 2020 and May of 21. So we've got plenty of time. Did you receive that letter? Okay. Thought we forwarded it on to you. I know it went to Bill. Okay. I was hoping.
Some minor issues that I need to talk to Bill about that we've got to get fixed now.
On the dam?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very minor. I think the gauge, that seal is gone in the concrete.
Okay.
We should have fixed it before we started getting water coming across it.
Well, this is from the state of Kansas. There's a letter that actually came to the city. So I will get with, I'll forward this to you right now. And
I'll talk to Bill and I'll assist him.
But yeah, we've got plenty of time to do it. I just didn't know if it was better to get the inspection done, you know, this May, June, or.
Well, I know there were some repairs that were recommended last time concerning the grade.
Yeah.
The riprap on the south side. That probably we need to figure that out and address that.
Okay.
And I'm not speaking for Q-Link now. Just helping out on this.
Yeah, and Bill has ideas.
Like I say, we got that seal that is, and then there was some question. Going down, but I don't know if that was the big issue. I think that riprap was the.
No,
because
no,
I misunderstood what they were wanting.
Yeah.
I walked
it. First grade issue or something.
I walked it with them. I get what they're basically where the big, you know, like 6-8 inch rock is grading, moving south from the road into the lake. Underneath that, there's areas where it kind of, with like silt and whatever, kind of does that. So, basically, we need a pickup truck and three high school kids and a shovel to just lay riprap all the way down the old dam.
It's not really shovel.
Shade shovels.
Yeah.
Snow shovels.
Wish it was that easy.
I'll look at it and then Bill and I talk about it.
Okay. Kathy, can you forward that to John and, well, both Johns, because John's kind of in the dam department. Okay, we talked about a committee for the fire station. I think we're going to hold off on that. I talked to Mark Steffen. He's had little interest on the fire truck. His opinion is that it's just a very oversaturated market. There's a lot of fire trucks that are newer. Even though that truck is in great condition, it can still work. He's going to add it to three more websites. One of them is called the Kansas Firewire. One of them is the Brindley Mountain publication. I guess all sorts of trucks go on that. And he still thinks that we can get about $12,000 for it. So I'm going to hold off on the committee as far as using that space. Mark is really, and he admitted that he hadn't paid much attention to it, and he's going to hit it hard starting now and give it about 2 months. But he really thinks that the right buyer will come around and take that thing off our hands. So looks like we'll have that for a little bit. And then he's got a few other things in the fire station, nothing that we should be concerned about, the compressor. We have no money in that, so we can sell that. He brought up the hovercraft.
Wait, does that compressor go to that air hose?
No, that's what I thought too.
No.
I thought, no, we need that.
Self-contained greenhouse.
Yeah,
okay,
the,
so it's reasonable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I thought the same thing. we're keeping that thing. So he's going to really push hard here in the next couple months to try and get that thing sold and maybe come to a meeting. He says he misses all of us, so we'll see what happens there. I kind of already mentioned this, but I looked into the CARS program, the County Assistance Road System through Johnson County, but even if this was in Johnson County, this project on Holiday Drive, we wouldn't qualify for it just based on the size and traffic and all that stuff. I did reach out to Mayor David Alvey. I don't want this to be something where he says, yes, we'll go out and patch it. I would rather it be, you know, we've got a big issue here. Patch isn't going to work. We've got a safety issue, and just kind of see where that discussion goes and see if, you know, maybe we can come to some sort of agreement where, you know, we chip in, they chip in, or, you know, we do something, they do something. And along with Greg looking into it, hopefully we can get that $130,000 price tag down, because it's a big pill to swallow. So we'll see about that. I'll keep you in the loop. But that was all I had on my mayor's report. So we will go next to city council reports and start with Dave McCullough.
Yeah, on the gas station refurbishing, you know, Fred, you had gotten a bid from Hunter Pump Island to wrap it in new stainless steel.
Yeah,
and
I hope the picture is okay.
Oh, yeah.
That I sent around. Anybody didn't get a chance to see that.
Yeah, and I reached out to, I just, you know, kind of looked online to get a competitive bid to see what other people charge for this stuff. The only one I've gotten back so far is from a company called Simon Surfaces, and they were $9,200. So they're a lot more, and theirs was a different solution, which was new concrete. It was a kind of a mixed concrete with an epoxy that was more durable and things like that. I am waiting to hear back from Double Check, who does all the maintenance on our gas station currently, just to get an idea from them of what an apples to apples comparison would be with what Hunter Pump Islands would do. So I'd like to see what, you know, using a local contractor, what they would charge. But I think it needs it. I mean, honestly, it looks really bad. It's kind of a handshake for the community. You know, a lot of people use it, and it looks bad. It also needs a good power washing and paint too, I think. And I don't know what we want to do with the roof on it. If there's I don't know if we just want to keep it the same style and just spruce it up. But it needs some attention, that's for sure. So
I think so too, especially with the new monument and, you know, the triangle landscaped area always looks so nice.
Yeah, I'd rather. I did hear from Jason at Double Check, and he was going to get a hold of me this week. So I would like to get, you know, a competitive bid from them and move pretty quickly on this to get that.
Okay.
Get a nice pump island for us.
And you know, last year, and I. I don't know, we talked about cleaning, just cleaning the darn thing. It seemed like every other or every third meeting we talked about that. And I don't know that we ever, did we ever do that? I don't know why that was so hard.
I don't think we did.
It feels like, and then you can't tell, is it rust up there or what it is, but that's the worst part of that, that whole thing. I'm not a power washer.
I mean, I could.
Didn't we talk about this Sunday limit?
There's no water and there's no power outlet for an electric one, so we'd have to get a gas power, and the water would have to actually come from the building because this water spigot out there does not work. And I thought the last agreement or thought was to see if Q-Inc could do it, and I know Gary Anderson had done it in the past, but I don't know what their work status is and if that's an option.
Well, it hasn't been washed. I know, Ben. I've been on council for 2 years. It hasn't been washed for 2 years.
I do have a gas power washer, honestly. Does
Q-Inc have a water tank?
Got a fire truck with a water tank.
You got a lot of fire hose back there, too.
Fire truck.
So, I
have to look at Justin's schedule. They're playing catch up when they only have one person.
I feel like the city should take that on. That's our property. I don't, Q-Inc's got enough on their hands.
The only other thing I can add is some of you may have remembered the guy that stopped in that does pressure washing. I can try to look his number up again and see if we can get a quote on him just to power wash the gas station area, because he gave a quote on the gas station, the city parking lot, the building. He like gave a quote to do everything.
Is it one of those guys that's got like a full-blown like a trailer? It's like heat. It's like a
I think they have a
guy who shows up with a gas powered everything, brings his own water with him, and it's like heated.
I'm almost positive it's that type of professional, preheated, some expensive pressure washer that steam cleans or whatever. And the only thing that we just, that's new that we need to keep in mind is the camera systems that are mounted there. Last thing we need to do is blast those off there.
Probably want to keep you away from that.
and so, Dave, you'll get bids for people and pictures and everything. So, of course, these are all like at real gas stations or Quick Trips or whatever it is. So we'll do ours, as Brady said, really very tasteful and understated.
The pumps themselves are going to stay the same. It's going to be a ribbon of stainless steel, basically, with nice concrete on it. And then whatever improvements, paint, whatever we need to do with the stone and the pillars, I think would be just an extra that we would look into. Something else I would like to look into is, I don't know how we do surveys here or anything like that, but I'd like to look into getting ethanol-free fuel in there. Just because I want it doesn't mean it's good for the city, but I think it's a good idea, but I want to vet that before making a decision. I don't know how those things have been done in the past where it's,
straw poll.
What?
I said Ben's straw poll. Ben would always say, you guys need each ask 10 neighbors.
Yeah. We did an actual poll one time and it was a disaster.
Yeah.
Boy.
How many tanks do you have?
Three.
So you give up something.
Yeah.
It was two.
Well,
one of them is a dual tank, one that has the same fuel.
Yeah.
So we can't have three separate.
Yeah, the way the bid grade works now is they mix the low grade and the high grade to make the bid grade. So we would have one 4,000-gallon tank with ethanol-free, would be high grade. The other two tanks would be full of low grade with ethanol. The mid grade then would be 33% ethanol free.
And what market are you targeting for the ethanol free?
Oh, it would be for people with boats primarily.
Keep in mind that most of the boats out here might buy 5 gallons of something.
There's also me. I don't buy there for my car because it has ethanol in it. I'm don't know how many people are like.
Is there a way for the guy that runs the little station out here to tell us what his sales are for the high grade, the middle, and the low?
I would hope.
Yeah,
it would be interesting to see how many people.
Because, John, I don't want to just say, I think we should have it. And
I wouldn't put it in for boats out here. And in all honesty, most of your automobiles today, as they burn the ethanol, it's not an issue unless you get one of the Ferraris and some of these others we have.
I never buy gas with ethanol.
Yeah.
I don't have
a Ferrari. Well, I just know the science behind the ethanol. It really, the car isn't the issue, it's a boat. Because boats, gas tanks are better.
And anything where the gas sits for a long time, ethanol's bad.
But yeah, you're right about the boats. I mean,
they're vented tanks.
Yeah.
Well, that's an awful lot of moisture.
Yeah.
Power of the seal.
Okay.
So I can reach out to Terry and see what the sales are like. And,
And so then at the next meeting, you'll have another bid.
Yeah.
And you'll reach out to some people about cleaning it, power washing.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might have the contact info for that.
Look for it while we're
here. Okay.
Because beginning of March would be a great time to get that thing looking good.
Nice, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave. Anything else?
I can just give a quick update on the odors from waste management.
Okay.
I talked to Mike Hay. Just to get, I want to touch base with him monthly and see what's going on with it. The new cell that they're going to be moving to is going to be ready in July, he thought. So I brought up the cell that they're currently filling that is our problem is going to close at the end of this year. He said it's possible it would close in October, but it's likely it would continue on into the end of the year. But he said it wouldn't be used after this calendar. So I am pushing him to start using the new cell this summer. We always have trouble when it's really hot out.
Right.
Hot and windy. So I was saying, as soon as that thing's ready, start filling it up with garbage and and start using it, and then use the other one. There's other type of waste to put in there. He mentioned that they sometimes get contaminated soil that they have to process and put away on. Well, just do that because it's not going to have any odor to it. It's just going to be an extra layer of containment. So I'm going to keep pushing him to get using that new cell as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I was amazed when you told me that it was going to be filled that soon. Hopefully it is.
Yeah, I know. We've heard different stories from them over the years.
Yeah.
I know. So just keeping in touch with him at least monthly, I think.
Yeah.
At least put his feet to the fire. Let them know we're paying attention.
Yeah.
And he did say that when it's windy, once the new cell is open, if it's particularly windy, he doesn't want to use the current cell because it's up higher. And then he has people out all day long chasing down trash bags and things like that. He doesn't want to use his staff for that. So
yeah.
I think we're on the right track. I've got my doubts about a lot of things that there's not a lot of trust between the two sides on this. He questioned people trying to goose the numbers by calling in unnecessary complaints, and I told them, just no.
Yeah.
So you have a landfill that doesn't smell nice.
Yeah.
People have noses. That's kind of what we're dealing with. So
I think it's going well.
I'll just stay on and keep you guys updated.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Dave, did he give any insight as to why they only contacted Shawnee to tell us about the?
He did not.
Okay, I was just curious.
No, I can. Okay. Pursue that.
No.
It just kind of leads in. It just kind of perpetuates that lack of trust.
I didn't know if he had even mentioned it. I figured there probably would just not be any mention, but I should ask.
It was interesting.
Yeah, he did say that that's, one of the reasons they stopped using the app was because people wouldn't leave their contact info.
Yeah.
You can use their phone number anonymously.
Yes.
So that's not it.
Yeah.
So in my notes, I just had BS with a circle around. So yeah, good question. So yeah, no longer using the app in the communication on the Lake Quivira, the city app.
Yeah.
Calling that out in a new section.
Yeah.
That's all very helpful. So
good.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Greg, we've already talked about a couple of your items. You got anything else? Or?
Yeah, I've been jacking with my new, I've been messing around with my new My Yoko app here.
Okay.
And under 311 requests, you can enter pothole if street maintenance issues and ask for images. So,
okay.
I'll play with it a little bit in the next meeting. Give a little more information on it. I hear anything back.
Yeah, I think we all probably, you and I and Aaron, maybe just need to get together at some point. And if I hear back from them and, you know, figure out KDOT, stuff like that, because it's not just potholes, it's a big deal. So,
do we have, or our budget, we have like a street maintenance budget? Was it like 25,000 a
year? So, 25 is like the yearly amount, because we always spend that, of course. And then we have the reserve funds. And then the reserve funds for road has 114,274 of like the extra funds. And then there is still, or I'm sorry, it has 60,000 in it in the road fund. And then there is still 114,274 that's unallocated that can be moved to road funds. Any of those ones that you see in the 5,600 numbers, like if you're looking at the profit and loss document, if you go to that very last page of it, any of the ones that are 5,600, so it starts at spillway and goes down through unallocated, any of those can be moved or interchanged within those accounts. So, for example, if we realize, not to say this is going to be the case, but that the spillway magically healed itself, then that $400,000 that we have set aside for spillway doesn't have to stay in spillway. With a council vote, it could move to any of those other categories: road fund, emergency exit, or streetscape / road improvement, which is essentially a holiday drive beautification account.
How often do we do our budgets?
We do our budget once a year. We'll start talking about it in April.
Talk about it in April, finalize it in June or July?
July.
July
is when we finalize it at the council,
yeah.
And then when we publish in the special edition of the Quiberon that gets distributed, and then August is when we host the public hearing and pass the budget.
Gotcha.
Do people, many people show up for the hearing?
No.
About like this?
I've had one in 8 years.
Yeah, about like this.
Was it John?
No.
Your dad.
No. I have three who always come and get the budget.
Not to the meeting,
two
but they come, yeah.
Who call, and it's an hour conversation with each one, which I have no problem going over. Why do you have this and here, or that kind of thing? And I only have one show up.
Yeah.
Which also we have not raised taxes in my time as treasurer,
sure.
So that might have a little bit of a something to do with that.
Yep.
People see that their property taxes are going up because their house value is going up, not because we are charging them extra. Mm-hmm. They don't have too much to come down and complain about.
Thank you.
But yeah, any of that is just a simple vote to move to a different. But those are the only ones that if you don't spend it, it does not go away. We can carry it forward year to year, add more to it, that kind of a thing.
Anything else, Greg?
No.
Thank you. Annie?
So I've been kind of working a little behind the scenes with our employees, and I put together a process for performance evaluations, and actually, we're trying to finish up 19, and so Aaron's my last piece. But both Kathy and Fred did a great job of kind of documenting, you know, responsibilities and then updating what they've done. And so we've got, I think, a good structure that we can move forward with and get, you know, so seek feedback from not only the council, the mayor, the council, their peers. And so to finish up 19, I'm gathering feedback from the council that was in place in 19, and I'll accumulate that on their forms, and then we'll meet with them individually hopefully that first week in March, Brandy, I'd like you to be part of those, mm-hmm. and we'll have a more formal session, and then maybe October-ish, we'll have another just sort of check-in, and then start the cycle again, and I'd like to start it in November, so that we're getting feedback at that time, so that they're done by year-end, so that when they have the conversation for the first time we met, and just we talk, we had our off meeting, or what was it called?
Executive session.
Yes, thank you. Just so that we're more prepared, and because the information is there and it's available, and so we just need to kind of, so anyway, I think we're doing good.
Question for you, yeah. Because, you know, we're doing this for 19, so how does this work? Do we still involve Dave and Bruce?
Oh,
okay,
them.
So they, yeah, they all get
them
it?
The,
okay.
The evaluations that were sort of the, it's like a checklist, and so they're mm-hmm. giving feedback. Then okay. John's already submitted his, and so mm-hmm. I'll accumulate all that for these guys, and then and they're giving their feedback too, so it's kind of a two-way street.
Good.
So.
Yeah, I'm very appreciative of that, because you know, it's been severely lacking here, and we don't have a lot of employees, but I think this is really good what you're doing and putting a lot of work into it. Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else?
I think I'm going to come in on Friday and meet with Kathy. I wanted to work on our social media, just start kind of talking about a plan.
Okay.
Although I don't really have a lot of background, but I think I can help sort of just create just a little structure on that and how we want to approach it. And
okay.
So.
Cool. John?
As Aaron alluded to, the fireworks contract is taken care of and funded, so
thank you.
That piece is done. I think I mentioned this last month, but we always try to get that done in the month of January because they provide 10% more product, supposedly, for having a check and a contract fully paid for by the end of January.
Yeah.
I have never done inventory to confirm that they are in fact providing 10% more product, and as I told them, most fireworks stands, you know, if you flip them a couple bucks, they hand you like 50% more product, but anyway, I guess it's bigger on a commercial level.
So that can include that in the audit next year.
Yeah.
I did fly my drone over it last year when they're setting up, and you can count the sleeves.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Front. Oh, wow. So I'll fly it over again this year and compare it to last year.
Please do, yeah, please do that.
Apple to apples comparison.
Side by side. And,
all right. You have your test fireworks there.
I know they like shooting out of the eye.
So I brought up two other topics last month, one being the NDO. We were kind of hit the pause button on that because it felt like there needed to be a little more city attorney involvement. And with Ellis's situation being somewhat up in the air, nothing has happened, but now that we have, more clarity after the vote that Michelle will be with us for at least, 90 more days or so, I'll ping you on that. And then I guess if anybody has any feedback on the donation policy discussion, everybody, that was sent out, I believe. That was dispersed. A couple of examples from other cities. So I guess I would just say that as a council, you know, not that it has to be decided tonight. And, you know, respectfully, I know this is you know, getting into be a longer meeting. But does anyone have any feedback? Is it something you feel like we need, we don't need, we shouldn't be participating in any public donations, any opinions?
I would wonder if we want to, there's a limit for any individual entity at $500 annually. Do we want to have a cap as a city on what we would donate annually?
We shouldn't we have a, if we're going to make donations, wouldn't we have a budget for that, or would that just come from, I mean, we should plan on it once we have a policy.
Yeah. And I don't know what a reasonable number would be if it's $5,000 or something like that. I mean, it's taxpayer money, so I want to make sure we're at least making sure, you know, that we put a limit on what we could donate.
Sure.
I know it's zero.
Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
And we talked a lot about $200 for two nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We
Actually, yeah. It was clarified. $500 max per entity, a maximum of $2,000 a year, something like that. I'd like to have a max.
Well, I guess what I'm kind of curious about is my sense was, and this came up under the last council, Gail and I leaned towards making this donation. Bruce and Dave, for very valid reasons, did not want to, and Brady was France, just riding the line, not taking a side. No, I don't really know what your opinion is on it.
My opinion always has been just not to.
Okay, so we've got kind of a lean again. So I guess now, and I'm, call me Switzerland. I don't have a real strong opinion on the matter, but I feel like the city needs this policy in place. So this needs to come to a conclusion. We're either not doing it, we're doing it. If we do it, it looks like this. So I would ask you three what your thoughts are. Should we just make it a policy that we don't do it because it's taxpayer money and we're not in a position to dictate what charitable organizations it goes to, no matter what they're...
I think it would be hard if we do have a budget amount, let's say $500 a year, and then we spend it earlier in the year and we find something later on in the year, and then we get caught in the you donated this but not that. So I can kind of see how the...
I am absolutely against anything that doesn't have kind of this more overriding public entity where, like, this particular entity came mm-hmm. and said, well, we've helped serve some of your residents in the past, mm-hmm. you know, versus sending it to, you know, UNICEF or some entity that's, you know, maybe doesn't directly impact it. This area.
In my opinion, I don't think we should. I think if we wanted to, as a city council, donate our time at Harvesters or do something for the benefit of the community in some fashion, or if personally people wanted to donate, but I just kind of, philosophically, the idea of taking it tax dollars and distributing it, even if it is a charity, it doesn't feel right.
I agree, and also just I think the whole Lake Quivira, I don't know, it just doesn't feel right that something like that belongs in the city in our situation.
Does Cuban do any donations? I know it's completely different, but
in different ways. We donated goods, rounds of golf, that type of stuff. It's a different type of thing that we get requests for. Keep in mind, we also have the LQ Foundation. That's where grants and donations, they actually go to that. Mm-hmm. Ours is more good services, basically, though. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, my sense then is, as a council, the lean is to say our policy is we don't do that. And I mean, I'm not really for or against it one way or the other. But I am very pro, let's just get to an outcome. And as Gail and Brady can attest to, I mean, I think the discussion that took place 6 or 8 months ago on this topic, if they would have passed the hat, everybody would have thrown in a few $100 to just say, let's be done with this, because, you know, it's exhausting.
But it was a different donation. It felt like, that's the only reason I was really for it, was because it was actually, I can't remember, it was what the group was in Johnson County, is that right? And they provide services, and mm-hmm. they rely on the municipalities for their money, and we were, you know, they wanted $200, and we, you know, they did work for people within our community, and that was the only reason. It wasn't like, who knows, you know, anybody could walk in here and want $200, $300, $400, but it's just for their own charity. You know, that's not really benefiting the community as a whole. And that was the only thing. That was my whole thing.
And
I couldn't.
And I totally agree with you. And I was all for the $200. And like I said, I would have. I personally was just, here's $200. Please, let's just not waste any more time talking about it. But And there was an optics thing with it. They're like, well, every city in Johnson County participates in this except for Lake Wavira, Mission Hills, and Westwood Hills. And you're like, ooh, that, you know, doesn't exactly have the best of optics. But one thing that is unique about all three of those cities is that they're also very small. And so anyway, I guess my thought on it is I've heard enough to say, I think at least this council in its current iteration is of the belief that we don't get into that business. And I think, Kathy, if you get any requests to get on the docket or whatever, I think an appropriate response is that the council has researched it and come to the conclusion that they're not, you know, that we collectively are not open to those types of things. So you're welcome to come and present, but understand that doesn't.
And on that one, you know, it was a member.
Yeah.
And so it was a member that, you know, brought the group in, and which was, wasn't it just cold canvas, you know, which,
yeah.
And then they came twice.
Should there be a policy that says we do not, just as if there would have been that we do?
It's
up to you guys. It's not just me saying.
I don't think there necessarily has to be a policy.
I have a question.
Yeah.
And this, it made me think of it when the two members that were so solidly against it said people should get to donate as they want to. You know, we have very generous people. Look at our, is it Salvation Army?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there any kind of thing that says that a group here at the lake or an individual could not stand there at the gate and at the entrance all day and collect for anything? I mean, everybody, a lot of people are very proud of how much money we donate every year, but that seems like something there'd be a policy about too, and I don't know if it'd have to be the city and Key Lake, or if you just, probably that's just one of those things that happens, but that, some people find that offensive. I'm not saying I'm one of them. I'm just saying some people don't like Salvation Army policies about how they disperse their money, et cetera. Who okays that?
The Salvation Army, that's done on Key Lake, all through Key Lake. So if someone were to, have a, let's use, I think something common might be like the fire department when they have their March of Dimes, is it? So anyone that did similar actions at the gate, that would be Key Lake regulated. If it were outside the gate from here to the stop sign or any city street, it would have to come for the council for approval, because I couldn't approve it without a significant plan in place due to traffic hazards. I'm sure every fire department that's out the street, there's a strict program, and as well, there are city employees in their city streets doing that approved work. Just like most of the cities have prohibited acts of, what you see on TV and maybe experience in your travels, the window washers that may come up and beg for money or do stuff like that, that's what would be prohibited unless we have an ordinance that specifies that and details that. So one of the things that we could look at if we ever decided to allow it is basically drafting the ordinance that says yes or no. But as of right now, they would have to get some sort of approval to stand up the stop sign.
Right.
To jingle the bucket.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was curious.
Yeah, so the queuing, or it's their private property streets, it's just like the lemonade sales.
Mm-hmm.
I stop and I give my dollar or whatever to every variety of taste of lemonade you can imagine. But they get my money.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's it for me. I think we've come to a conclusion on that, which is good, and so.
Well, thank you for doing that policy, and it's good to hear other people's opinions and views on that, because for a while it was, you know,
the same over and over again. So it's good to see some fresh perspective, in my opinion. So, and you don't feel that we need a...
I don't think so.
Okay, good. All right. Is that it, John?
Yep, that's it.
All right. Deal best?
Okay. Let's see, I'll start with the, I think everybody has the document, the yard waste and recycling dumpsters document. We talked about this last month and said we'd do a little bit more research on this. So I had to put this together for myself so that I could think this through and talk to John Blessing and all that. So, of course, everybody knows the reason we're talking about this is because the maintenance area has become such a mess. And John and others have spent a lot of time cleaning it up, and we just can't get, I guess it looks nice today, which is good.
Yeah, nice,
and there's been communication. Yeah. But that brought us to wonder why we're doing some of the things we're doing. And so I looked into, starting with yard waste. And what I understand, and I actually learned this from Brady's article, that I guess at one point we used to have curbside yard waste, and then Deffenbaugh stopped that, and then that's when we started doing the dumpsters.
Correct.
And I don't know how many years ago that was, but so basically to give you a summary of our contract with Waste Management, okay, our contract says we get up to 2 40-yard containers placed at locations designated by the city for residents use to dispose of yard waste during, and this is kind of odd, April, May, June, September, October, November. And yard waste is picked up 2 times a month at no cost, and then the additional is at $95 per haul. And then I guess I didn't know this, and maybe everybody else knows this, so we have a live Christmas tree, but then in the contract it states that 1 tree per resident is included in, like, it's, and John was kind of surprised too, but it's in our contract. It's like you could put your tree out on your street and it would just go in trash, is what he thought. But he was going to check on that.
Done that since
I've never. Well, we have a live tree, and, but it's in our contract.
Since we stopped putting them in the lake, let's not get
it. Yeah, no, I know that.
We actually promoted and we picked those up.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Justin does.
Well, anyway, it was odd that I ran across that. It's in our contract that they would pick 1 tree up for the 2 weeks after Christmas per residential unit. So, okay, so what are our options for yard waste? Because last time we were talking about, well, do we want to have it, you know, do we want to make people drive up to Waste Management and all that? So here's our options. First is you just keep everything as it is. So, you know, you've got the dumpster there, and we are not being charged for any yard waste that's picked up 2 times a month during those months that are listed, which exclude July and August. Okay, the next one is keep it as it is, but keep that same thing, but move the containers to a less visible place. Because I think one of the things we talked about last time is with the new community center and all the action and stuff that's going to be going on there, it's quite an eyesore, and it sticks right out in the open. But we don't know where that would be, but that would be an option. The next one is to remove the 40-yard containers altogether, the yard waste containers, and replace with curbside yard waste for all residents for Waste Management's standard yard waste period, which is April through November. And that would be at a cost of $10 per month per resident for 8 months. And assuming we have 395 residential units, that's $31,600. And then the other option is to have them, well, of course, we know that the contractors, they use those, I mean, they put all of their yard waste in it, whether it be from Lake Wavira or wherever they've come from. And so I asked John, well, if we did curbside and then we did the dumpsters for like December through March, would they be willing to pick up the dumpsters, take them away, and bring them back. And so basically we would have curbside, what I was trying to get to is how would it work if we had curbside from April through November, and then 1st of December they deliver us our waste dumpster, and we don't have curbside anymore, and then we all can put it there if we want.
Until March.
Okay. So that's...
Doesn't the curbside, if you limit how much can be put out?
It's 10 bags, the big recycled bags, or you have each resident, each person can buy, not from them, but buy their own recycled tub or tubs that would be labeled that way.
Well,
is that not?
I think we leave the dumpster myself.
Okay.
Then I can go into spend action more thinking, controlling what's put in these things.
Well, we're talking yard waste right now.
I do just a basic cleanup of my yard and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get 22 bags.
Well, let's let her finish real fast.
Yeah, because this is just yard waste right now.
Yeah.
Because, okay.
I'm just saying that it's limited what they'll pick up, how many they'll pick up at your house.
Yeah. Okay, so those look like the only options we have on that, on the yard waste. Okay, then the recycling containers, these are the ones that really causes issues. Okay, so our current contract with Waste Management allows for 1 8-yard mixed recycling container serviced at a weekly cost of $25, serviced weekly at a cost of $25. That's all we pay for that.
And that's the cardboard one?
That's the recycled container that we always say is the cardboard, but really it can be anything that truly qualifies for recycle that doesn't include the glass. So, again, the options, keep it as it is, or optionally locate it to the less visible place. Additionally, install cameras, signs, or implement fines if abuse is found. I mean, have some penalties. If people are not using it properly. Just like I think, John, you said you're looking for people's names on.
Well, we have actually, Fred, gotten involved some too. If you're going to do it anymore, make sure you get your name off it.
Yeah.
We actually found a bunch of boxes with the names. I found a bunch of QA garbage bags. I don't know why they're even put there. It should have been a dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't throw away your old business cards.
Oh,
yeah. And we found some old business cards, so we knew where it came from. And it was an employee.
And then the other one was, and I think when Betsy was here last time, she was pretty adamant about this one, and she sent me several follow-up emails too, that she says, just get rid of that. Get rid of that recycling dumpster. And basically residents handle all the recycling curbside. Maybe the residents don't know that they can have more containers, and as long as they're labeled, at the yard, at the driveway, that they will be picked up. But then if you have so much recycling, all we have to do is travel a mile down the road and put it in the dumpster there.
Hey, question, Gil. I'm having a hard, it's only 25 bucks a month for them to come out weekly. I mean, that's like $5 a visit.
I've got the contract here.
Six of them. I mean, a problem solved.
No, because of what people put in there.
This is what it says. One. This is what we signed in 2016 for a 5-year contract. Recycling container serviced weekly rate. $25.63 per month.
That is, I can't believe, that's fabulous that I see your point, John.
But there's penalties charged on that because of what's been in it.
Yeah, what are, did you?
Oh, I,
what,
oh,
what's
I
a finish, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
My, like? I mean,
I don't know how much more, Aaron, I didn't get with you today to look at the, do you ever look at the waste management bill?
They barely ever do the, if they do a penalty, it's like $10
or $15.
Yeah.
Nothing ever sticks out significant. Okay.
No, I'll have some to add when the deal's done about the yard waste portion. I think there's a couple that are off base on, but other than that.
And then under the glass recycling, I mean, this is just my own personal feeling. It doesn't feel like that area is being abused, and it's very convenient for our residents. And there is no option for resident pickup at Lake Wadera. I mean, waste management isn't even in that business anymore. And so the only other convenient option, if we took that away, would be for them to get in their car and deliver all their wine bottles up to waste management.
Right.
And so I was suggesting we keep that one as it is. And Erin, what did you?
Oh, the only thing I was going to say about yard waste. So the problem with it from the beginning is kind of the setup of it. Because none of us are over there all of the time. The person who was over there all of the time was Gary Anderson. So back when Betsy Bozeman was a council member, her and I set up a plan with Gary Anderson that he would be the one who made the call on if the yard waste bin was filled or not. Well, then he would call, and in the beginning I had asked, hey, can you kind of let me know so that I have a record of this, so that if 1 month I get charged for 10 of these, then I'll at least have an idea that, yes, that seems right. Mm-hmm. Well, that never happened, understandable. Then during the transition of Gary leaving, not having anyone for a while, I think that's when the problem kind of started, that there was no regulation on that. We don't have someone, unless we put one more thing on, like a police officer, that
right.
They are the ones who drives down there and says when the bin is filled.
So the bins were getting full. People were going down there to dump stuff. They got frustrated.
On the green side, now that Justin's there, I don't even know if Justin knew of this arrangement or knows
right.
that this is something that he was kind of in charge. Okay.
Well, because John Blessing told me, I talked to him today to get some clarification, and he said somebody there is doing a really good job on making sure that they're calling.
And that most likely
no,
is
I don't know
Justin.
If you're saying that.
Now, the problem of that, once again, still, there are some months that I get a bill and I'm like, four calls. I never heard anything of that, because if there could be some way that we are also notified when the call happens.
Yeah, how can we get Justin just to send a quick email or phone call?
It's what? What'd you say?
It's not 95, it's 109 per call.
Oh, it is? Okay, because
yes.
The new, our contract
well,
revision
that again falls on the up
doesn't
to
have
3%
it.
That they no. can raise it. And
okay.
So we are no longer immune and under the 95. So
okay.
Yeah. But
it would be nice if you could email the pickup and copy you on it.
That's what I'm
saying. Some kind of communication I think would be helpful. And just as a little background, I just wanted to make sure that was well known, that might have been where some of the problem was stemming from for a while. Because mm-hmm. if there was not someone who was making the phone call, then there was no way that waste management mm-hmm. would know that the bin needed to be switched.
Mm-hmm. And John, you said you'll let Justin know?
Yeah, I know he is calling. I will talk to Justin about the yard waste. Just to give you all just a little bit of idea actions that we're taking right now, we've got to get this under control within just all queuing. You notice from the dumpster area all the way up the Gulf Main, we have totally cleaned that out. We've got no dumping signs now. Of course, you put the signs up and immediately someone threw something right next to the sign. Great. And the reason why is we're adding 30 parking places back there.
Right.
Parking is going to become an issue. We're trying to get it where kids can access basketball courts, ladies can, or guys can go to the tennis courts that are lower than that. So we are focusing on that. The other thing that we are doing right now is we're out of the burn. Getting us out of the burden business. And I'm having a really hard time with a lot of contractors as far as lake maintenance. For many years, that was just their dumping ground with wood, with rock, rubble, and we're getting on that, and we may even start locking that gate. You can't get in there at all. As far as Q Inc., yard waste, in particular trees, we are hauling that over to the meadows for storage. Mm-hmm. Now, that's not open to contractors to start dumping stuff. Because then what I plan on, or we plan on doing, bringing in CJ Clary twice a year, bring their machine in, mulch it all up, and it's gone. And the reason why we're getting out of burn, I mean, we set a building on fire, we got trees that are being set on fire, we got to stop this.
Now that the gate is just always open now, what's keeping the contractors out of there?
Where?
Over there in the metals. Because you can
I'm
see now you
one
can.
Issue.
I know.
And this is a problem. This is a long-term problem, and it was like, well, we're helping them out. The thing is they contract to do work on my house, replace a deck. Mm-hmm. I'm paying them to haul that stuff away and dispose of it properly. They all had little side deals with, I'm not picking on Gary Anderson, he was here a long time. Yeah, just throw it in there, we'll get the burn. You know, members would bring their yard debris down. They have a bunch of branches. We cleaned up over there, and there's three huge piles of stuff that someone just came and threw. And that's the problem we were having. They weren't putting it in the yard waste dumpsters. They were stacking it next to it there. Mm-hmm. This is a whole mindset that we're trying to change.
For years and years.
Yeah, but it's, the contractors are bad as the members, and the members are bad as the contractors. The contractors are paid to haul it away. And haul it away doesn't mean dump it on queuing property that we have to deal with.
And I had that come up. I was down by the dumpsters taking my dog for a walk, and there was a contractor there who was dumping leaves.
Yep.
I said, hey, that's residents only. He said, no, it's okay.
These are the leaves from somebody's.
Yeah, so she said it was okay. And he said, you want to come back to the house and talk to them? No.
Yeah,
that's education. You know, this is only for, I mean, we have to somehow get the word out, make a video or something like what's allowed, what's not, you know. Otherwise, it's going to be continue to be a problem. But I can see the side of a resident who just says, well, they're already here. I pay for this service to have my yard. You know, I could take the bag down there. Or I could ride in their truck and dump it in there. Then it's okay. But if they do it, it's not. So it's a little clunky right now. But I think education's the key.
There's no question on that. And we've done some of that. Gary has a problem. Mm-hmm. Part of the problem with contractors, the contractors that pick up leaves, they don't put them in Costco paper bags. They put them on a tarp, pull the tarp onto the thing.
Yeah.
They're not going to drag that up and dump it in that dumpster. They dump it off the back, or they dump it on that area that we've just spent a lot of time cleaning up.
Yeah.
That's the difference in contractors. A wooden deck, they're not going to, they dump it.
Yeah.
And it's a mindset change, the whole culture change that we've got to work on. And like I say, in my opinion, I represent nobody. Yard waste dumpsters, I personally like to see them kept. And we just started working on that. The glass, like you say, Gail, isn't an issue. That other little dumpster, I think it needs to go away, even at $25 a month. That's the one that's just an opinion.
Right.
Because it's just a welcoming thing there for anybody, you know, at night or whatever, to just throw some stuff in.
The purpose of it, I think, is a lot of the confusion. I totally agree with what Dave said about just education. I think Brady might have been the only person around that I got into a confrontation with a member who was, we ended up having to talk to the people who worked at the gate because we had a member who owns multiple rental properties around the county who would go do yard work at the rental properties and then instead of paying the money at the dump to dump it yard waste. No, he would bring trailers full of yard waste bags through the gate, and the gate swore that it wasn't happening. I had to be behind him in my car one time and took a cell phone video of following him through the gate with this trailer of yard waste all the way down, watched him dump it, all of this on video, and that was the only way that we got the people at the gate to stop allowing people in with trailers that they saw that they had.
Yeah.
That's a shame he drives past the dump.
Yeah. Literally, right past the dump. Sorry. Save the $20 or whatever it is. So.
Hey, John, when you talk to Justin, will you just tell him thank you for everything he's doing? And if he could email Aaron, that'd be great.
I'll talk to him more, but I do know he is calling us back.
And tell him we've seen an improvement and we're appreciative of all that.
Yeah. Okay. I think a lot of this is education.
Yeah.
And communication.
Yeah.
I think those are the two.
Yeah, right. People are just abusing it.
So that's okay, why price change.
So back to Gail's, to the recycling dumpsters. What, you gave us a lot of good information. I felt like last month, my feeling was, it's too soon to just get rid of everything. Mm-hmm. My feeling is, let's keep it, let's educate, let's do what we can, and then monitor it and see where it goes. I'm open to hearing from the council, that's my opinion. I see where you're coming from too, John. In my opinion, the thing that's going to go next has got to be that recycling cardboard, whatever you want to call it, dumpster.
See, part of the problem with a better place too is the only way the trucks can access those yard waste dumpsters is to back down.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place they have to turn around, so they have to back down or on the community center there,
mm-hmm.
which is now a lot more complicated than it was. Pick it up, drive it out, then back it in. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
well, and John,
that's part of the problem.
John said he would be happy if we had a couple of. You know, I know we talked about the area down there by the construction gate and all that, but if there was anywhere else, he'd be happy to come. He for sure would want to approve where
you
that would be.
There aren't any. What we talked about is like you, I, and John coming to look and see.
Yeah, well, that's what he wants to do.
I don't think their trucks like backing down there any more than we do now, because they're going to take out.
Yeah.
There's a stone wall there. There's a concrete.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't like that. Mm-hmm. It's a very narrow road. So.
Well, it just feels like the recycling. I mean, I don't think I would ever think of even. Do you guys all use that one? I mean,
I use two of my receptacles at home. I've got the one with the lid, and then I've got the old green box, and that seems to be enough, unless it's around Christmas time and Amazon boxes and stuff like that. But.
But didn't you guys say you can just lay those out if you just push them down?
You really can. If you break them down well enough,
break them down,
they're going to
take. So it's like, I don't know, I don't use those. I use the yard waste, and I use the glass. It's convenient, but again, it's not that much further to do the glass.
Yeah.
But I do think we should look at other places that we could put it, because I don't it doesn't seem like the best place right now.
Yeah. Well, we can visit that.
Well, I mean, what is going to lead us to, like, if we all kind of feel this way, okay, and we know that there's abusers, and maybe, you know, I mean, I guess if you're sitting down there, we're thinking of putting security cameras in, or, you know, why? I mean, because it just feels like people can do it, you know, in their driveway through the normal recycling, and what would cause us? No, why wouldn't we want to just remove it?
I would think that more than half of it is cardboard that comes from the clubhouse, from food deliveries, and from the pro shop. And I don't know, can they?
Are they using? Are they?
Yeah,
I thought
they
have their
here several times a day.
No, they will put it in there, and where it would end up would be in the normal dumpsters up at Golf Maintenance. Are picked up every day. We have two regular garbage dumpsters there. So that cardboard that they bring down there just wouldn't be recycled anymore.
Also, I think signage other than just the old painting that's on that dumpster might help, because some of the writing on the dumpster is somewhat obsolete anyway. And for example, if there were a sign put there by the city or something that spelled out that you couldn't put styrofoam or that, you know, no garbage.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also not well known. I think we still probably do this, that if you have too much garbage for your one can, you can buy sacks from the city. And they're pretty big, substantial sacks, aren't they?
You can actually buy just trash stickers.
And then you put it on any kind of sack?
Correct.
I don't think very many people might know that either.
Yep.
And then you can put it alongside your barrel, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I think, again,
I didn't know
more education.
Are you thinking a sign like, you know, if you're walking down the stairs to the beach, there's a white sign with red writing?
and it's got the rules of the beach.
Yeah.
And maybe have a big sign for the yard waste dumpsters, mm-hmm. a big sign for the recycling dumpster, one for the glass.
I honestly think we need to start thinking new locations. We've got a $5.5 million community center, brand new tennis courts. We're hosting more and more 10-cap leagues. They have more activity. That's the eyesore.
So what are some ideas of new locations?
The only one I have at this point would be down the hill near that construction gate by that water station there.
Right, but that...
Then they would have to come in through that.
That road down there, so if somebody has... If I've got a truckload full of debris and I drive down there, that's not all gravel. And there's a lot of mud.
It is gravel now because it was the construction entrance.
Okay, well, there's also trenches that are pretty deep trenches.
Well, you asked an option. That's one option.
Because
you're driving down, you're sitting above, and that can be pretty visible. Even if it's fenced in with like a 6-foot fence.
In my opinion, if we're talking new locations, we optimize it and think pads, fence, you know, and completely build around it, but.
I don't mind that location, but that's going to get muddy down there. And unless we pour, gravel's only going to be there for so long, and people are going to have to turn around, and on muddy days, it's going to be a mess. They're going to be pulling out of there and getting them back up on the street right next to the tennis courts with mud spinning on their tires. So I think there's a significant expense just moving the dumpsters. I don't think we can just move them there and say goodbye.
No, it's not that. It's actually a bigger issue than that, because it could potentially be construed as another access point.
Oh, from when they're... Okay, yeah.
Oh, but they would be... They don't take a key and get into our gate.
Right now, no.
No, I mean, they would not be doing that. I mean, he said they don't... We would not give them the ability to get, to open it from the Holiday Drive side.
That'd be the issue.
Yeah. Okay, well, so I think what I'm hearing is, for right now, we're going to have some bright, visible signage on both of these dumpsters.
Yes.
With rules that people don't probably even know about. I didn't know that you could get another bag and label just trash and label it as trash.
Well, the signs at the dumpster, I think, need to be, these items are allowed in these dumpsters. Here's what's not allowed. Mm-hmm. The trash stickers we can send out, I can include in my mayor's report, or website, Q News, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. If we did a trash-related flyer.
We could do another trash-related flyer. Mm-hmm. Similar to the one that mm-hmm. you came up with. Dave mentioned a video, instructional video.
To be posted on our site.
And you all don't have to do this alone. We need to do this as a community combined effort.
Okay.
Well, and then I think something that says all contractors will be fined, residential use only, is probably solves a lot of the problems.
Your house here only.
So does maybe Dave and Gail want to get together and talk about the sign? And is there somebody at Q Inc. that they can coordinate with? And
John.
No, I'm not saying you. I'm really not saying you, John.
I'm like a residential.
Oh.
I'm fine.
Okay.
And Gail, I'd be curious if they're doing that for, and I know this doesn't solve everything, but if they're doing that for $25 a month, will they come 3 times a week for $75 a month?
Well, we've also got the people to put it in. The one that is called Fred, he called the homeowner, which I think shoot out her son, told him to get down. The dumpster was empty.
Okay.
It was easier to throw the
ball.
Yeah.
The epitome of laziness.
Fred and I talked about it. It's like, okay, this could be our window.
Yeah.
So that's somebody got a call from Fred.
Yeah.
And a child got chewed out by mom.
Yeah.
Hoping that would spread.
I think
is that what led to the parent child?
Fred and I
were
involved. I'm arresting kids over this.
I think more information, education,
agreed.
Okay.
And we start there, and then we think of other locations. We can always move them.
Yeah.
But I think, and I think just in the last month, we've seen an improvement. So I just think we keep going that direction.
Okay. All right, the next one, this won't take near as long. Brady happened to say how pretty the gas station island landscape is. You know, you mentioned that just...
It always is.
Well, so this one is to pretty much change it. Well, okay. So Lori Keller, our horticulturist, presented me a landscape plan this past week. I guess I had noticed that the main tree in the middle of the gas station, the Vanderwolf, that's the huge tree that really is the thing that was really pretty, has completely died. It got the beetle disease just not that long ago, and it's just dead as a doornail.
Okay, good.
And then in front of that used to be a lovely tree, spruce tree, but it was having some issues because the Vanderwolf was squeezing it out, and so then we tore that down, and then we've got the worst of the spruces that's left, which is not good. Okay, so there's those. And then we have the two or three birches that are on the back side of the gas station island that look good at the beginning, and they are past their life. I mean, they're living. That's good. But they're losing their leaves very, very quickly. And then there's another shrub that's a huge, huge shrub that's in the same category. So basically we have to take out the dead tree, and then the other tree it's squeezing out, and we could put dogwoods and some real pretty things in its place. But in the meantime, we have the old stuff still there. So Lori wants to wipe it all out except for the new really cute little pine trees that we've got in there, six of them, and a few other things and some boulders. So fortunately, the cost of that, of the plant material she wants, is only $1,500, and which I thought was, you know, a really good deal. And then grounds maintenance would spend 25 to 30 hours cutting the trees down and putting the new ones in and tightening it all up. So this is a request for $2,500 to basically end up having everything in that gas station island be new, like within a year or two old is all. And the trees that she would use to replace they're arborvitaes, are going to be they would be 9 or 10 feet to start off with, which is a good size, but these things get 50 feet tall and like 10 feet wide. So that'll like screen. Eventually, we probably won't even be able to hear these trains coming down the tracks. We can use that as an excuse. Yeah. But anyway, so this is to give her permission to do that. So we would need a motion if anybody is willing to do so to do
I
this.
I would make that motion to do this, not to exceed $2,500, to implement the gas station island landscaping plan.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second.
I second the motion.
Awesome. Any opposed? Any discussion? Greg, you're smirking. No discussion?
And that's why we want Dave's gas station to look really nice.
Yes.
Because we're going to be losing, well, we want it to look nice from both sides.
It'll be the hardscape.
Okay, that motion approves.
All right,
great. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. If we're talking about power washing and beautifying,
yeah,
let's go ahead and do
that's
it.
Extremely reasonable.
Even though I thought it looked great.
Okay, so the last one I have to talk about is the bathroom remodel. And as you guys remember, last month we approved the $2,000 expenditure to get, you know, the really, really nice fixtures that belong to a hotel and, you know, and granite countertops and all this stuff for our two bathrooms in here. So we approved that. and they're sitting there waiting for us. Then Fred and I and Kathy have met a couple of times and really taken some closer looks at the bathrooms. And last time we were here, you guys remember that we said, oh, we don't need to have those, we don't need to have stalls, you know, the wood stalls that I was wanting to have installed, because we'll turn these into single bathrooms, you know, with a door. Well, then we realized, oh, but wait a minute, we're converting it to ADA, and the way the toilets sit right now, there's no place to, they're kind of in odd places, there's no place to actually put grab bars. So we had to rethink this thing, and then, so I ended up calling in Dave Tulp, who is Brady. He does a lot of work around here, and I think he's doing work for Brady right now. And so we went through there and made a list of all the things that Dave would need to do in his project. And so I've listed them all out in this document. And basically, it involves replacing the ceiling tiles, moving one of the toilets over, Fred's going to lay the floor in there with the laminate flooring. But like Dave said, you know, we really need to put a nice lip on it
the base.
Yeah. And then the little nose on it so that it looks professional. So everything, we're trying to make this look very professional, not just sort of we put new toilets in and painted the wall. So anyway, that cost was, for him, was $12,720. So we're looking at a bathroom remodel for $15,000, two bathrooms. Everything would be up to snuff with dryers, hand dryers, and, you know, the urinal. I mean, you go in the men's restroom and there's no tile or, you know, it's just, I mean, like he said, you got to have, you know, tile or something.
I think it looks great. So,
and then there, what ends up happening for the ladies, which is very nice, I don't think the men care, but is that there becomes an extra space where you can actually have, you know, a little chair in there or bench and kind of a lounge area. The men already have it in theirs. And where is it, Fred? Their lounge area. No, I mean.
We have a bench in the men's room?
No.
We're being recorded.
I know. Well, it was funny. The men had, we didn't know, they have a light. You walk into the restrooms, here we go. Well, Fred.
It's being recorded.
Okay.
Have you, sorry to interrupt you, have you, like, the light fixtures that he's going to be supplying, have you, like, do you approve those?
Oh, yeah, I'll be picking them out.
So will this price go up if we pick out some Smack Daddy light fixtures or?
Well, he'll give me an allowance. He just landed in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Today doing hurricane work, so he's going to give me all the details of what the allowances are.
Do we have a second bid? I mean, I think that bid seems very reasonable for Dave, but I'm just curious if we had another bid.
No. Does anyone have a?
Greg, I know you don't necessarily remodel, but you do new. But two bathrooms at that price.
It doesn't look like way over. I mean, we're not getting hosed. If we're getting hosed, we're not getting hosed by much.
Okay.
If that sounds not completely correct.
I mean, the second bid's not a bad idea, but.
He's not charging any uptick on any materials or labor. I mean, we're getting, I mean.
It's $6,000 a bathroom.
Yeah. I mean, it seems very reasonable.
Yeah, it does. And I don't even, I can't think of anybody off the bat that would come in and give us a bid.
Show up and, what kind of time, do you have a timeline?
He could start working on this maybe the latter part of April, but certainly May.
Fred, you've had experience with them?
Oh, yeah, Dave does great work.
Okay.
So the only input I have is the timelines between the two. We just need to keep at least one functional. Obviously, we can't have all the toilets up at the same time. I don't know if we want to do one bathroom at a time and then do the other, or if we want to juggle both at the same time, or if Dave is going to say, well, that's going to cost you another
extra trip charges. For
right.
Yeah.
So something to think about.
Oh. Yeah.
I'm sure these ladies don't want to use an outhouse.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really all about the staging of
right.
of everything. And yeah.
What were we thinking?
We had actually had 10,000 in building redo, and then we lowered it to 5,000. So we only have 5 in actual building.
And we've already spent 2?
Redo. Mm-hmm. That's, we haven't paid anything, but yes, so we've already spent 2 of it. But then it could come out of, like, a different category.
And that does not include the front door. That's,
oh, no.
That's 2019,
oh,
right?
The front door. Okay.
Right.
No, that's 2020.
That is 2020. So it does.
Yeah.
And this does include him purchasing new doors for...
For the bathrooms.
The bathrooms.
Okay.
Yeah. With locks.
So we technically don't have any money for this.
Right.
Because we've already approved the front door.
Correct.
But we can find money.
Did we think that we could do a bathroom remodel for
$2,000 or $3,000? No, I think the price sounds great, but we've already approved the front door.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we were thinking when we were budgeting last year, because I know we talked about doing the bathroom.
But then, we lowered building maintenance and improvements from $10,000 to
$5,000. Do you recall why we did that?
No.
Okay.
Probably just to get the budget to pass.
Dave Bruce. Okay. What's everybody think about that? I think everybody thinks the price is okay. I guess the next question is funding. But we can take it out of the reserve fund?
Yeah, or we can find a place
okay.
in a different one.
And you're comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, we've moved quite far on this. I don't think we should start now.
That's a really good point, actually. I mean,
and this is a project that I know Ben announced like the beginning of last year. I'd really like to get those bathrooms redone.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I agree with that. So. Okay. Well. The only thing next is...
Okay, so does that mean, are we doing a motion to
You're more than welcome to do a motion.
Oh, okay.
I would entertain
it. Okay, I would entertain a motion to approve $13,670, or how about $13,700, for the remodel of the 2 bathrooms in City Hall.
Got a motion? Do I have a second?
Well, I would say there should be a not to exceed.
Oh, yeah.
Not to exceed 13,700.
Yeah.
Okay. So that motion has been changed not to exceed 13,700.
Side note real quick.
Yep.
The flooring for the women's bathroom has been purchased. I'll still have to purchase flooring for the men's restroom
and
the rest of City Hall. So I just don't want...
Ballpark.
Bill will pop up and this didn't fit within our 13.7. I just want to be transparent.
How much?
Ballpark on the cost of that.
I'm not sure right off yet. It's been relatively inexpensive. So
if we make it 15,000, does that leave more than enough room?
Okay. So do we want to...
I would propose we amend the motion of not to exceed $15,000.
So is that...
And that's to include Fred's flooring option.
Mm-hmm. So is that a second?
That's fine.
Yeah.
You're accepting the amendment, though, right? You don't have any opposition to him amending the motion?
No, I agree with amending the motion.
You'll still need a second to that, though.
Okay. Excuse me. And we have a second? Okay, any opposed? We need a session.
No, you have to, there should be a motion to amend the original motion.
I guess it's like, wait, did we just make
that? That's Robert's Rules of Order. He's supposed to formally pass a motion to amend the original motion. Then you vote on the original amended motion.
Okay,
Roberts.
So what did?
But if we don't use Roberts, we don't have to. So I think. Do you guys have anything in writing as far as what your motions and policies are? Aaron's looking at me like.
I'm like, that would be good.
The Senate states will just have those in writing, kind of what the policies are and how you do that with an amended motion. If you don't have Roberts' rules,
yeah.
Right? You could also take a vote on the first motion.
Or you can withdraw
and
then
present a new motion. Mm-hmm. Just saying if that's easier.
Yeah, nothing's passed. Why don't you just
withdraw?
Withdraw.
Oh,
withdraw the motion.
I'm sorry. I would like to withdraw this motion of spending $13,700 not to exceed on the bathroom. I would like to motion that we spend. Not to exceed $15,000, or approve not to exceed $15,000 today on the bathroom remodel.
Good.
Including the extra flooring that's needed for the men's restroom. That includes the extra flooring for the men's restroom.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Thank you, Dave. Any opposed? No opposition? Any discussion? Okay. Motion passes.
All right.
Thank you, Gail. That was a lot of stuff right there.
Yeah. Sorry.
Holy cow. All right. Under old business, we've got the Holiday Drive stormwater study update. I think we basically covered that. So let's move on to new business, council president appointment. So there needs to be a president of the city council in case of my absence or incapacity. The president of the city council would fill in if that were to ever happen. I cannot appoint anybody. I've had discussion with a couple of city council members that have had some experience, and John Christie is volunteered to accept that position if elected, but ultimately that's going to be up to you as a council.
So,
if you'd like to.
So, I'd like to make a motion to for John Christie to be the council president.
Okay, have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. Any opposed? Any discussion? All right.
He tells us all.
Motion approved.
I almost threw you a curveball there, Brady, and opposed, but
yeah.
Yeah.
So he has speech prepared. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Is he going to have to take an oath at some point?
We're just talking about that too. Let's just do it. Just be on the safe side. Oh. We'll do that to be on the safe side. I don't know if statutorily it's required because he's already a council member, but.
Right.
It doesn't hurt.
Well,
there's
he was
added responsibility.
He was a little upset because I think everybody here took an oath at the first meeting, except him, so
well,
he felt
a
little left out. So, okay, you want to do that now?
End of the meeting.
End of the meeting.
Now.
Okay. End of the meeting's fine.
Okay.
The Ames agreement renewal with Bill Cole. Bill's not here. Are you discussing that, or we can hold off on that?
I talked about it with him, and he said go ahead and pay it and renew it. So I'm not sure how it.
Huh. Okay. Well, I think it's the agreement to have him for another year.
Oh, no, for Ames.
Ames is that you're tracking.
Yes, the Johnson County Ames.
Oh, so he just wants us to renew that?
Yes. Yeah.
The I subscription?
Think, yeah.
Oh.
$300 that we paid. I think he got it up and running again last year because we haven't paid it for a couple of years, but yeah.
Take it out of buildings.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely need that.
Brady, on a side point, speaking of him, he did say that he was approached at Jones County if that we needed a CARS representative, and he said he would volunteer to be that as well as you. Unless
sure.
You had someone beating on your door to do it.
No, if he wants to. Yeah. They were having a dam conference in Wichita or something for a day.
Yeah.
Or Topeka. And I asked if he wanted to go, and he said no.
He said
no. Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite conference in Wichita would be a dam conference.
Do you want to do the oath before or if we have an executive session?
Sure.
Yeah?
Wow. You raise your right hand and
all that. Oh, you got to stay.
Okay. All right.
I, John Christie, solemnly swear.
I, John Christie, solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And the ordinances of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
And faithfully discharge the duties of council president.
Faithfully discharge the duties of council president.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Very good. On the 10th day of February, you will find me.
Does anybody else have any new business they'd like to discuss?
Thanks, sir.
No new business? Okay. I would entertain an executive session.
Oh.
Sorry, I know it's late. Regarding the pay ordinance for 2020 relating to non-elected personnel. Oh, sure.
Right hand. I'm Michelle Days. Solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the ordinances of the city of Lake Quivira, Kansas.
You can read that.
And faithfully discharge the duties of city attorney. So help me God. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
Okay. Any reason for an executive session? That's a big yawn. Because I would love to entertain a motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to make the motion?
Okay. I'd love for somebody
so
to.
So I'd like to make a motion for the pay ordinance for 2020 relating to non-elected personnel.
For approximately how long?
And can you add to protect the privacy interests?
To protect the privacy interests
of non-elected personnel.
Of non-elected personnel.
For 15 minutes?
Yes, for 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yep. We have a motion. We have a second.
I'll second that.
Any opposed?
I can't hear what's up.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I'm losing my mind here. Okay, so you want me to keep track of this clock, Kathy?
I have 9:37. That's what I'm recording.
Did we kill the...
No.
Oh. Let's see. Where do I kill it?
You know how to
think of the language. like to basically
welcome back to open session.
Yeah. The council meeting is back in session.
It says it's recording.
Motion to recess an executive.
It's recording.
It's recording now?
Well, it says it's recording, and I see the clock moving.
Okay.
So now that we're back in open session, I would like to make a motion that we go into executive session for the pay ordinance for 2020 to maintain privacy related to non-elected personnel.
And how long?
For how long?
For
and you guys
5 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Five? Okay. We have a motion. We have a second. Any opposed? Good.
Let's see if I can stop this.
So the difference.
We all figured it out. We think.
Well, we got to put that. Well, I don't think the power matters because it's.
Okay, regular meeting is back in session. Do I have a motion regarding the pay ordinance for 2020?
I make a motion that Michelle will draft a pay ordinance for 2020 for the employees.
Perfect. And I'll bring that back next month.
Okay.
I have a second.
All right.
Sorry.
Any opposed? Any discussion? Okay.
Was all that to draft a pay ordinance for the March meeting?
Yes.
Okay.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
That was Christine. Aye.
Great. Any opposed?
I think I need a glass of wine.
Jeez. I don't even want to hit this.
Got it. Perfect. Thank you. Uh-huh. Danny, did you check your folder? Did you get the...
Okay,
so I left a check. Okay. That she had addressed to me, but made out to the foundation, and so I was like, okay, that's
we can match.
Let's throw that in.
Outside of, she had to do this stuff.
Hey, Aaron.
The motions only came to go back in executive session.
I'll text you when you
know. So everything else is
back
in session.
Yeah.
Yes.
John, do you remember who seconded the second motion to go back into executive session?
It is on the recorded. I mean, it is. We turned. Oh, really?
Did you make the motion to go back into five?
I'll volunteer a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Freeze. Good. Yes.
That's weird.
Thank you.
Yes.
And yeah, so that was 5 minutes, so we've been coming.
And
back
then next they also made a comment.
It's an important But we adjourned
at
What's your email?
Yes, MDAIE@me.com.
I'm sending mine.
Because I don't have to go
to him. Okay. All right, so there's mine. I didn't want to clarify on
another. Okay, that's good. Perfect. Okay, I am.
We've got a little more clarity on.
Yeah. No, that's good. Nothing. Okay, that's good.